This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right. For a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American. That's what I am.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent. We're kind of giggling in the studio here about the phone call that was made to our representative Gallagher over there by Red Smith. Anyway, I'm your host today, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, and today is Sunday, March 13th, if you can believe it. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning, and Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark, and Linda, and Red.
Good morning.
And Red, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, rapidly becoming a descent into the unfunded pit of hell.
That's about right.
There you have it.
That has nailed the current financial situation of my generation in the state of California.
Yep. Yep. Oh, we're in recovery.
It's just funny to hear it anymore.
That's stupid. Anyway, we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Interestingly enough, I had a couple of the record Searchlight gals wanted to friend me. I wasn't sure if I wanted to friend them back, though. I haven't decided.
Editor. Spies.
Yeah, I know. No,
that's reaching across the aisle.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to reach across the aisle and slap them or just let them in. So we'll see what happens. I made up my mind.
Slap the punk.
Slap the punk.
I'm sorry. I just slapped this morning. You know?
Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night. This Monday night, they're not going to be at 2570 South Bonneview. Where are they going to
Shasta be? Shasta Bible College.
Can I say that fast three times?
Yeah.
Blah, Shasta blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Bible College up on Hartnell, is it? Or
yes, it is. Hold on. I got the address
got
right
it.
Here.
She's got
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. I am on it.
She's
it
on
is
it.
2951 Goodwater Avenue off Hartnell.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. You've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind with Red Smith, and as usual, he's going to hold over and become our newest co-host. And Linda, it's now the Linda Kent Show.
That's right.
Yeah, according to our guest called in for the Linda Kent Show. I think she got a raise in her pay grade.
Yeah. Hey.
I have fun being Igor. Yes, master.
Would you like a fly?
Abby normal something.
Boss walking to a bar. One of them does this.
Call security.
Who's your daddy?
There you have it. So we're, I don't know, I'm a little out of sync today because I got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning thinking that my clock had not changed, but it had. Automatically, and
mm-hmm. I hate the time changes.
God, me too. I mean, I just a little. I need more coffee, is what the thing is. So we'll get that done.
That's my department.
So I guess we have a guest on the line.
Yes, we do.
Michael Stummo, and he is the executive chief executive officer of the Coalition for Prosperous America. I'm looking at his bio here, and he works for policies to balance U.S. trade, maintain U.S. sovereignty, and develop an effective national production and economic strategy. He's been an attorney with the law offices in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Omaha, Nebraska. His specialties have been business litigation, antitrust, agricultural law. He was previously general counsel for the Organization for Competitive Markets. You know, when I saw the CPA, I always think,
I did too.
Clients pay always. I mean, because we're in the tax business.
I did at first when I was getting the information on him, and then I went, oh, maybe I better check to see exactly what they're talking about.
Anyway, we've got Michael on the line, I believe. Are you there, Michael?
I'm here, and I'm not a CPA, even though I work for CPA.
So how are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, very good. Any big news on the economic recovery that we should know about at this point that you can tell us about?
Oh, economic recovery. Well, we just need to produce more in this country to get an economic recovery, but the trade issue has been pretty big in the presidential campaign.
Well, so we're talking about the TPP. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, the newest one is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Obama has negotiated with a bunch of Pacific Rim countries, and will continue our offshoring of jobs and industry if we don't turn it around.
So what you're saying is that the trade agreement wasn't really good for America?
It's not what they said.
That's
it was.
That's what I'm saying. Obama's guys didn't do a very good job with it.
Well, and are you voting for Trump then?
Well, I don't tell everybody who I vote for, but we've got an organization that's like an ideological Star Wars bar scene. It goes from all the way right to all the way left and everything in between, because the trade issue doesn't really cut cleanly across party lines.
I see. Well, I if you got somebody voting for Bernie on the board, you might reconsider him.
I tell you, I've got Bernie supporters, I've got Trump supporters, I've got Cruz supporters, and everything else. So.
Well, I didn't hear Hillary though.
Well, I guess there's a couple of them too. So,
yeah, is this pre-indictment or post-indictment?
Well, I think we are currently pre-indictment. So, yeah.
Well, she said it's never going to happen the other day, so it's pretty confident sounding.
But, no, we've got manufacturers and agricultural producers and even labor in the group. So it's really, I can talk to a Tea Party group one week and a labor union the next. And it's on these issues, they all agree that we need to produce more here. And we need to have a pro-American trade policy, not for the globalist crony capitalist.
Well, that's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because that's the real deal. That should cut across all party lines because, in order for America to even help the rest of the world, if we aren't competitive economically and we become a third world country, which is kind of the slippery slope that I think we're sliding down here,
right?
We're not going to be able to help ourselves, let alone anybody else.
No, that's right. Our first job is to help ourselves and build back. Our founding fathers in post-World War II, we knew how to build our economy, and we've sort of forgotten that. And you've got to produce. You've got to have a diverse array of supply chains. You've got to keep your sovereignty. You've got to produce agricultural products. That doesn't mean produce everything. That doesn't mean don't trade with people. That doesn't mean that at all.
Well, I heard
that,
well,
yeah.
I was going to say, you know, I listened to that speech Obama made the other day, and it just infuriates me every time I even listen to him because, you know, the first thing out of his mouth is, well, we're against immigration. Well, that's absolutely retarded. You know, we're not against immigration. We're against illegal, non-productive people that don't want to assimilate, criminals, you know, unfettered, you know, Muslim terrorists. Yeah, I'm against all of that, but I'm not against immigration. But he just blanketly makes a statement like that, and it just drives me nuts because that's just crazy. But it's always about the divisive politics of keeping everybody fighting.
Right, they try to cast you beyond the, you know, into the outer darkness where there was only weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you're not at the, you know, it's not reasonable conversation.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to ask too, because it ties into one of the things I think I understand about the TPP that concerns me, is you said the need to maintain diverse supply chains, and essentially the TPP is forcing governments to specialize in the products that they produce and limiting the supply chain of other products so that they globally become interdependent on each other, whereas you have, say, this nation over here producing microchips and this nation over here is producing rice and these guys are making TVs. And if one becomes shaky, doesn't that shake the entire system to its core?
Yeah, that's really true, and I'd phrase it in this way. You know, our bread and butter is, you know, a supply chain, you know, an auto supply chain or a computer supply chain or a cell phone supply chain. They tend to naturally grow in kind of clusters. It's like the Silicon Valley cluster, or IBM had a cluster around Albany, New York, and the like. And once you start taking pieces of that supply chain from the raw product, and there might be 6-7 stages before it gets to the consumer or more, you get to an ecosystem collapse where you start picking pieces of that supply chain out. And the president's policy, and frankly the Republican, you know, Bush before, has been to globalize supply chains, which basically is a nice happy word for offshoring, but you globalize them and you pick apart our domestic supply chains, which are now falling apart. It's bad economics.
Well, one of the things that concerns me is when you create this interdependence of nations upon each other, it's following roughly the model of what the Spanish did in the New World, where they didn't allow any of their colonies to be self-sustaining. They were all specialized as well and interdependent on each other so that Spain could maintain control. This is very much a similar program, if I'm understanding it right.
Well, that's right in a trade sense. I mean, Saudi Arabia's got an export surplus, a net export surplus, but it's oil, and that's it. They've never developed anything else. And the African colonies, you know, were raw products, agricultural or mining products. But these modern, successful, powerful economies have a lot of productive. We won the war, World War II, in productive capacity. We just outproduced Germany But you have a diverse array of supply chains or productive capacity, and that's how we, dethroned Great Britain as the number one economy in the world. And that's what China's doing, Japan, you know, Korea, Germany, Taiwan. It's the only way it's ever worked. We've forgotten that lesson, and we're hollowing ourselves out.
Well, also, we didn't have an income tax on labor, you know, through the withholding and so forth until World War II, and then it was only supposed to be temporary. That's the danger of this whole income tax. The Founding Fathers said no direct taxes, period, in the Constitution. That was changed in 1913 and was supposed to be implemented on the rich only, and there was no,
right.
You know, so now we've progressed to where, I mean, they're just absolutely choking the businesses out. You know, to start up a small business and hire people on a payroll is almost impossible. And with Obamacare thrown on top of that, I mean, the government is basically forcing a lot of these companies to go offshore to survive.
Right. Not only that's exactly true. So we're sort of globalizing our supply chains, but we're also globalizing our government because the TPP has, you know, three different global agencies that we can control and threaten our sovereignty, from the TPP Commission, which Senator Jeff Sessions has been pretty vocal about, how it can alter the meaning of the agreement and what it does to the countries later. It's got a a state-to-state kind of court system, like the WTO tribunals, and then it even has an ISDS, or called this investor-state dispute settlement procedure, where foreign companies can sue our government or other governments to complain about law changes that we've done democratically in our government. So globalizing, you know, the government is really a huge deal.
Well, and globalizing the court system as well, because we would be defending ourselves not in an American court system, but in a world court system, is my understanding?
That's right. That's exactly right. Totally bypasses and trumps, so to speak. Of course, can't say Trump anymore without you know, thinking of the presidential candidate. But in the old view of the world, you know, it trumps our Supreme Court, our appellate courts, our, you know, our Article III courts under the Constitution.
So it represents a complete surrendering of American sovereignty.
It really does go a long way down that road.
No, see, strangely,
not enough attention on that, and they sell it under a happy, you know, smiley face free trade motto.
I know exactly where you're going,
yeah,
Red.
Because strangely, that sounds almost identical to what we told our local congressman our concerns over the TPP were, only to have him respond that we were ignorant and read the internet too
well,
much.
Well, and saying that he voted for the TPA. Which
right.
gave the authority to the president to basically do whatever he wanted with an up or down vote, and kind of got rid of the two-thirds vote as well in the Senate. So, you know, what do you think about the TPA for all the guys out that are listening that say that we've been attacking our congressman with no proper facts to back up that he kind of sold us out? What do you think about it?
Yeah, Doug LaMalfa was wrong to vote for TPA fast track for the president. The number one, the founding fathers gave the authority over trade under the Constitution to the Congress. It's a capitulation, to the executive, to have the executive control. To the extent LaMalfa says there are strict new requirements that Congress controls the president, it's a smokescreen. It's untrue. For example, the TPP was done before they ever gave him the authority, and Obama said, I'm not changing anything. And lastly, we've had 40 years of trade deficits straight. In other words, we've imported more than we export rather than the other way around. And that is every year. It shrinks our GDP, it shrinks our job base, it shrinks our industrial base, and if you have net exports instead of trade deficit, you have a trade surplus, you grow it. And that's how China has grown to be a world superpower now.
Okay.
And so they don't get basic economics, and to dismiss the TPP commission or the global courts is just inaccurate. Maybe he needs to read the internet more.
Yeah, well, we've got comments on that, too, that we shouldn't get all of our information off the internet. But, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And this goes to sound money, too, in my opinion, because, you know, prior to Nixon taking off the gold standard, you know, when we had these trade imbalances, what would happen is that, you know, you had to start shipping your gold over to those countries that were selling you goods. And that's why Nixon closed the window, because, you know, what that does is it causes a correction in the country that's got the trade imbalance. It forces them to start tooling up and manufacturing stuff. Otherwise, you empty the country of all of their money and they're broke. Only, you know, now with this global fiat currency system that we've been on, you know, this has caused such anomalies in the system, and that's why we're seeing these boom and bust cycles worldwide, because, you know, we've got a worldwide fiat currency on top of all this crap and this bad policy, and it's you know, magnifying the problems, you know, by 10.
Well, that's right. Currency is a huge, it may be one of the biggest problems we have in our trade imbalance that's gutting our country's economy, in that under the free floating currency system that we currently have, other countries have figured out how to game it.
Right.
How to devalue their own currency. 20 countries in the world have an undervalued currency. Just thinking right now, under our free-floating currency system, your currency is supposed to be about the value that reflects your underlying economy, that equilibrium value. But what it means is that if you devalue and make your currency undervalued, it's like an export subsidy. So you export more because your stuff is cheaper, but it's also a tariff. So when China devalues by 40%, like they've done before, it's like they're putting up a 40% tariff on our stuff going there and a 40% subsidy on everything leaving China for our shores. And LaMalfa's worried about, or the others, you know, among the TPP countries, their tariffs are 1 to 6% on average, average weighted tariff. Your currency can be 40%. Tariffs are so small in relation to the picture, and they don't fix the currency problem, which is one of several, but it's a big one. And that's why it's their economic naivety, which, and not ours.
Right. Well, what we end up with is a race to the bottom, like what's been happening with the borrowing and overspending. We devalue our currency to keep up with their currency, and pretty soon a loaf of bread is $50, and that's kind of where we're headed. So, but we got to go to a break, Mike, and then come back here, and then we'll continue our discussion.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding egos. I burned up my childhood days. Of a modern-day drifter, don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy. Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with a staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, listening to 1460. And, you can call in at 530-605-4567. We have our guest with us today, Michael Stumo. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Stumo. Right, yeah.
Just like a sumo wrestler, only Michael Stumo.
Sumo wrestler with a T. Yeah.
There you go. Very good. I'll tell you, you know, we've been just, you know, having a fast and furious conversation during the break about all this stuff. And, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to put this stuff together and grasp the situation, because if you don't have any background at all in economics or study it, you just don't quite get how we've been sold out.
Yeah, well, you just can't, I mean, for the economics of it, where the trade deficit, you know that you just can't buy more than you sell for 40 years straight, and that's what we've been doing. And you have to figure out a way to sell more than you buy, otherwise you don't create wealth.
Well, it's just, it's you know, it's pretty basic. I think you're right. It's kind of like running your households and spending more than you bring in.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, if you say, well, we had a great year, we made 5% more, but if you spent 20% more, it's not such a great year.
Well, and you continue to do that, and pretty soon you have a $20 trillion deficit, and you have unfunded liabilities in the area of $200 trillion.
But on
exactly.
On a very basic grassroots level, what is something that an average American can do to start turning this around?
Well, ultimately, we've got to keep TPP from passing. If we do that, then we get a chance. I mean, we get a chance to start, you know, making the Congress
accountable,
change our trade policy to promote production and jobs here, as well as preserve our domestic sovereignty. But you got to persuade the LaMalfas that, well, if you don't believe us, there's so many people that you're not representing your constituency if you don't believe that way. We're seeing it in the presidential campaign. We saw Hillary, who never found a trade agreement she didn't like, and she's trying to change her colors now. We'll see. But, you know, Sanders, whatever you think of Sanders, he was behind by 21% under the polling averages in Michigan last week and won that state. So this is an issue that is, and Trump is winning. You know, he's talking about it every day, how China, Japan, and Mexico are eating our lunch with currency and other things. It's moving voters more than we've ever seen. Trade Promotion Authority fast track last June. Everyone was expecting it to, you know, 6 months before to fly through easy because Paul Ryan, John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, and Obama all agreed on it. But there was an uprising. Our organization has something to do with it, but a lot of others from the left to the right. And they lost the vote. They weren't sure they were going to bring it up for a vote. Then they lost the vote. We won in regulation time, and they had to do some overtime shenanigans to do it. That is a trend in Congress that's realizing this isn't popular anymore. We need to do something else. So this year, actually, is an important year to tell Feinstein not to vote that way, to tell LaMalfa, everybody else. It's doable.
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm sorry, sis.
Well, that's okay. I was noticing on your website that you got a list of four things that you can do to help. And the last one really struck me is that the senators and congressmen that voted yes, they need to hear from us that they're sellouts over and over again. And that's something that we have been trying to educate people on, mm-hmm. is to, once we've got the gas pedal down, just to keep it going, you know.
Double down
on them. How do you feel about
it? Yeah, and the winds at our backs in that way. Do not support Obama trade. I mean, that's the short thing, and you can get in further if you need to. But it's doable.
Well, and, you know, it's been interesting because, you know, there's kind of an exemption that was carved out for LaMalfa as a rice farmer in this trade agreement. But I thought the trade agreement was done deal. I mean, from the newspaper reports and the mainstream media, it's over. I mean, it's already signed and in place.
Oh, well, it's signed, but the process is that they come to an agreement. They came to an agreement like last November. They released the text, and then they do legal scrubbing. They actually, the executives, you know, the prime ministers and president signed it in February, but to implement it, you know, that it's still just a pile of dead trees, really, until it's implemented. And the various TPP countries have different procedures, most of which have to go through their legislative equivalent. And ours has to be passed by both houses and Congress. The Senate is usually likely to pass it. The House is where the action is, and the right now, Paul Ryan, and actually in the Senate, they don't have the votes. McConnell and Paul Ryan have both said, been very clear, we don't have the votes right now.
Well, and that's one of the things that the TPA weakened, is they took away the two-third constitutional vote and made it a 51-49% vote for the win. And that you know, definitely harmed the potential of this thing passing.
That's exactly right, and they can't amend it. They pretend that the Congress pretends that they set the agenda, but they don't. And there is no, I mean, this is really, you know, for the rootless transnationals and for Wall Street and Big Pharma and the like. This is big deal. This is a big deal. There is no other type of deal that is treated that Congress can't amend it. They are forced to vote on it. They not only the treaty requirements, they don't have any real say in the beginning. It is the most railroaded through. It makes Obamacare look democratic. It makes, you know, cromnibuses look democratic. I mean, there's nothing more of a, you know, rubber stamp ram it through than these trade deals. There's no other topic in everything Congress does.
And with that, we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Terry. You have a question for our guest?
I do. I have a couple quick questions, but I can barely hear you guys on the other end. Maybe that's because there's three phone lines, huh?
I don't know. Maybe it's
the
weather.
So,
but thanks for letting us know.
Bob, see, I couldn't hear you there, Linda.
Yeah, Bob just turned it up, so you're loud and clear here.
No. I'll just ask my questions. First of all, with the TPA and the TPP, Doug LaMalfa doesn't do anything his constituents want. He's had phone calls about that. He had phone calls about Boehner. He had phone calls about the continuing resolution, on and on and on and on. And even when he gets thousands of phone calls, he ignores them. So what do we do about that? Number two, you were talking about importing and exporting. Well, I know I was in the convenience store business as a wholesaler. And in 1989, in increments of 1,440 pieces, we were able to buy a dozen caps, with the price per dozen being from the United States, made here, $17.90 a dozen. That would be the caps with a mesh back and the saying on the front. The same type of item from China would be $16.90. There was a dollar difference. Then as we moved along, it got to be a higher ratio. Within a couple of years, there was a $2 difference dozen on it. Now there's almost 5 to 6 times the amount of money for the same type of hat made in America that's made in China, and the corporate taxes are out of sight. So how do we tell people to buy American when the factories and the companies are getting have to pay 5 or 6 times more for an item because of government regulation?
I try to buy. This is Michael Stumo. I try to buy American, you know, as much as I can. But actually, what my goal and what our organization's goal is to make it an advantage to produce in America, make it a competitive advantage to produce here. A good part of what's going on in China, they have massive government subsidies there. That's how they supercharge. They devalue their currency. In 94, they devalued and held it by 40%. That was the example I gave before. So that's, you know, 40% of it there. They give value-added tax rebates of like 19%. So there's a lot of things actually that pile up to supercharge their production sector and to predatory price in a far below fair market value if they paid market prices for everything. And it's not just labor. They do have a local labor cost advantage, certainly. But they can't do what you're talking about with just a labor advantage.
Well, I think the thing is that in essence, that's all fine and well. The simple fact is that if you're buying merchandise overseas, and you can maybe keep some of that overseas, so you're not getting hit with the highest corporate taxes in the world, number one. And number two, if you're buying overseas and you buy it for 5 times less than you can buy it here in the U.S., it's good to buy U.S. We buy everything U.S., all of us can. But when it's 5 times more, and that brings the price to a price point that's almost unaffordable on some products, that's the real problem. The real problem is getting that particular situation in line. Nobody's going to want to pay 5 or 6 times more for something.
Well, one of the big fundamentals here, too, that a lot of people miss, and when you first hear it may not sound like much until you understand the fundamentals behind it, is in essence, very many things are not more expensive. Your money is worth less.
Well, that's all fine and well, but the reality is that when you have something you buy overseas, it can be 5 to 6 times less at the distribution or wholesale level. You haven't even added in retail yet. You haven't added on sales tax yet. You haven't added on all those things. How does that problem get solved with China? And how does that problem get solved for where pricing comes back into the realm of where the average American can afford things?
Trade and tariff protections, and stop printing money and devaluing our own money.
Amen to that. And that's exactly what's been happening. Mark hit that on the head every week. But at this point, reality is that's reality. And I don't see that changing anytime soon, no matter who's president.
You want to weigh in on this, Michael, and what's your opinion?
Yeah, there are some products. I mean, I'm going to get a little wonky right now. There are some products that are high labor products. So let me actually start in a different way. When China joined the WTO in 2000, and it's supposed to be so great they're going to start playing by the rules, be a free market economy. They went the opposite direction. 60% of their economy is state-owned, and they do massive, you know, subsidies of free land, free money, you know, loans that really are grants that you never have to pay back, low-cost power and the like, energy, that is, real estate, et cetera, to help, you know, their industry. They got to employ the, you know, millions of people that they drag out of the country into the cities to put them to work, and so that those people don't revolt and get another government. And so depending on the product, some will be 5 or 6 times, you know, differential, as the caller says. Some will be 10%, some will be 20%, and the like. But there's a, so China did not abide by its promise to not subsidize in order to, you know, cause, you know, under, you know, what it, they're going away from free markets, price, supply, and demand. I mean, none of that matters.
Well, 18 months ago, the Chinese started pulling people out of factories and putting them back into agriculture. And I learned this from a good friend who has an import company on soft goods and apparel on the East Coast, and is one of the largest wholesalers in the United States. And what's happened there is China has still raised their particular prices to him, almost as much as 30 to 40% at the wholesale level. However, that didn't equivocate as far as when we got the goods here in the United States. I mean, it still was a position where, again, we're paying so much more for stuff made here. And I know because I have a company that makes a lot of things here, yet we're able to maneuver around. We cut our profits. We make it to where we can have a good value for people. But the point is that this is all fine and dandy, but what's going to be the solution to this? And we have to solve this quickly.
Yeah, so just to finish my point, if you're talking about high-tech stuff like airplane parts, car parts, you know, electronics and things like that, the, you know, the labor doesn't do it. The cost difference is a little bit closer. It's not like sewing of, you know, purses, which is higher labor stuff. Now, if you have a whole array of subsidies that are, by agreement, under current international law, wrong, and we're doing nothing about it, basically you and you can't use enforcement means to do it because it's like whole economy, and you can only afford to do one enforcement case a month or something like that, just, you know, chip away at it. You know, you just do countervailing duties across the whole economy to equal the subsidy that they're giving to bring the thing up to fair market value. And that's actually allowed under international law, but it's not politically palatable because you think you're a protectionist to enforce the rights that the other countries already agreed to. So that's one option. But you've got to get at those whole hog subsidies and either make them stop or else you've got to countervail them with a tariff.
Well, you got to get this liberal administration or this non-conservative or this acquiescent, globalist thought process from this administration has to be replaced with somebody who cares about America and who wants to see America succeed and not worrying about everybody else in the world succeeding. So putting the tariffs on these goods coming in will start gearing up our companies as well, because we'll have to start producing this stuff in competition. Right now we can't produce it because we can't compete because the prices are too, there's too much inequity in the price structure.
Yeah,
and Mike hit the nail on the head too. There's no consequences.
It's ideological because you have Cato Institute and the American Enterprise Institute pushing the TPP, and in fact they say that if China subsidizes and gives us low-cost stuff, we need to send them a thank you card. So they're on board with Larry Summers and you know, the left wing too, at this international economist level, and so there's a problem on both sides of the aisle with that philosophy.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly correct. It is both sides of the aisle. A good example of that is right here in River City, when our congressman is diametrically opposed to what everybody wants as his constituents. No matter how many thousands call, no consequences. Same thing with the Chinese. They don't have to abide by trade agreements. They don't have to abide by anything. There's no consequences. So I think, to a degree, we have to start standing up and saying, no, we're just not going to allow this anymore. And, you know, kind of makes Trump look better and better all the time.
Boy, doesn't it? I'm telling you, I'm not sure I like any politicians, and you know, but I tell you what, can you think of a better person to sit down, get in front of the White House, sit behind the desk, and go, you're fired? Seriously, I mean, that's what this guy does. And that's what needs to happen. They all need to be fired. Every single one of these guys that are the EPA heads, the State Departments, the VA, fire them all. Get rid of them all, you know, and start getting rid of some of these agencies. Cut down the federal government to a point where it's actually manageable and get some guys in there who actually want to do a good job that's not kowtow. I mean, Larry Summers, what an example. The former Secretary of State, he's talking about getting rid of the $100 bill and going to a digital cash society so the banks can control everything. I mean, these guys, anybody that listened to that guy has got something wrong with him.
You know, Mark, well, and thank goodness that you have your radio program to where you can get the word out to people like this. But, you know, the real answer to this whole thing is a sovereign state. And I know that the program before Jefferson State of Mind is absolutely correct, because a state has three things it can do. Number one, it has jurisdiction, and that jurisdiction can't be co-opted by the federal government without the consent of the state. Number two, interposition, standing between the people and the federal government. Number three, nullification of anything that isn't constitutional, which, my friend, is what you just talked about, the nullification of all these agencies.
Mike, were you going to go ahead and say what you're going to say?
Yeah. Something that people really don't understand, because, in fact, I've been in this business for, you know, a while, and I was talking to a liberal international economist about 3 weeks ago, who's actually on our side. Like I say, you know, this is, doesn't cut cleanly across party lines. And he made clear, and I see it now, whether it's Cato or the American Enterprise Institute or Larry Summers or Greg Mankiw, who was, you know, George W. Bush's economic group guru, they all agree on their view of the world with this trade. And with manufactured goods in the supply chains, and frankly, it applies to our services too, although the supply chains often, you know, it's a different kind of a thing. Their value to these folks is only as a cost. So the reason that we should send China a thank you note for delivering us underpriced, predatory price, subsidized goods that take out our industries is that we save money on those goods. The only value is on the consumption side, where we save money. There is zero, nil, no value placed on the job aspect of it, the wealth-building aspect of it, the process innovation, the product innovation, the fact that we stay on the innovation ladder for the future and can build other industries. There's no value given. It is only a cost savings, and we save a little money, we can spend it somewhere else. That's a fundamental international economist misread of the world, which is killing us.
But we're not actually sending them money. We're actually sending them smaller portions of self-created debt that we have to pay interest on top of paying the debt.
And one day they'll want to be really paid back.
Well, I disagree with you on one aspect, Michael, and that is that I don't think it's an accident. I think it's purposely done with this administration. He's handpicked these guys, these globalists. You know, he's handpicked these guys to get rid of the sovereignty of America. You know, whether it's passing the TPA or the Obamacare or whatever it is. I mean, this guy has no loyalty to this country at all, and most of the administration has no loyalty to anything but themselves and money. And that's what has to end, is that, this whole idea that we got the best government that money can buy needs to stop.
Well, that's true. But my point is this. When Obama hired Tim Geithner, Rahm Emanuel, Larry Summers, Michael Froman, and that bunch of Robert Rubinite Citigroup folks,
yep.
That was, you know, you knew what was coming.
Sure, absolutely, because they're all a member of the same team.
On the other hand, you had Bush with Henry Paulson, Greg Mankiw, and folks like that, which are just
slight variations on the same theme.
Do you know
why we keep having it? Yeah.
Do you know what they have in common, almost all of them? They all work the Goldman Sachs.
Well, right.
Well, my
you know, fundamental. And then, you know, or Citigroup, a few of them.
Or J.P. Yeah. Morgan or any of the big banks. That's exactly right. Go ahead, Red.
Well, my big question is do we really have concerned Americans that want to reestablish the free market here in America, or are we simply talking about American industrialists that are upset that they've now been outbid on controlling our government for their benefit?
Well, you know, there's always a dynamic of the globalists, you know, the Davos globalists and, you know, the left, right, there's a lot of dynamics, but when I say we're at a point, I'm really happy this year. I think we can do it. I'm so glad to be on your show. But if you look in 2011, there was the last three trade agreements. They were negotiated by Bush and then brought up by Obama. And it was Korea, Colombia, and Panama. And, for example, the Colombia trade agreement, one thing on the Democrat side, the labor unions, love them or hate them, have got the Dems pretty much in line in the House. Most of them, like 80% of them, vote against them for reasons slightly different than others maybe. But on the Republican side, only 9 Republican congressmen voted against the Colombia trade deal. Now, fast forward to last year, 54 voted against TPA or Obama trade. That's really big. We haven't seen that for many, many years. And we need to get it to about 75 or 80 GOP voting against the TPP. If we get 75 or 80 that come to their senses of the GOP side in the House and labor holds the Dems, you know, steady, we throw the whole thing in disarray and they can't do anything on trade until they build a new consensus, which hopefully is better for America. So we're at an inflection point in the presidential campaign. Is a big supporting, you know, exclamation mark on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you look at Trump and the crowds he's drawn and the ire that he's drawing from the mainstream and the politicians and the left, you know, you got to want to vote for the guy more and more, in my opinion, because, you know, he threatens to break this whole blood-sucking cartel up. And that's why they don't want him in there. And that's
well, he's shaking a lot of trees.
Sure,
that's
shaking a lot of trees. That's
for
right.
Sure.
Well, and what you see demonstrated is the famous quote, you can always hire one half of the poor to kill the other half. And you're starting to see that become a reality, too.
Yeah, leave it to Red.
Anyway, well, Michael, we got about 3 minutes left. So is there anything that you'd like to get out and give out your contact information and website and things like that?
Well, sure. We try to keep everyone up to date on prosperousamerica.org, and it's, you know, dedicated to keeping up on the trade, the economics, and the sovereignty aspect of it, debunking the stupid studies by the pro-globalists and the like. And but the big issue is, do everything you can, you know, with your legislators in your region, with LaMalfa and the like, to, you know, let them know that they can't support Obama trade, they can't support TPP, that real true free trade means that America doesn't run a trade deficit, that we produce more here, more of what we consume, and it's doable. And even if LaMalfa is not at risk now, sometime in the future, it keeps adding to the national picture. There's 435 congressmen, but you got to keep registering it, and it's not a lost cause because we've come so far. So don't lose hope.
Well, you're starting to see cracks in his administration even now. I mean, there's people starting to run against him that wouldn't run before, and that's what needs to happen. Is this guy needs to be held accountable and taken to task on this, and we can't just go quietly away into the night on this stuff.
Yeah, the best thing you can do for America is replace people like Doug LaMalfa.
Yep, I agree. Well, hey, it's been great having you on, Mike, and so
my pleasure.
Very, very good discussion, and you know, I really enjoyed your discourse, and maybe we'll have you on the
Yeah, we'll have to have you back again and keep us updated to what's going on with everything.
Love to. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Very good.
We
all
appreciate
right.
it.
So I guess we need to go to a break, huh?
We're almost there? At the top of the hour, I guess we will. So.
Is it now, or do we got another minute?
We have about a minute until the news.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So so should we tap dance? Should we talk about Chinese exports plunged 25.4% compared to last year, and the economic recovery continues?
Well, that's China just announced they're laying off 5 million workers.
So this is a global downturn. I mean, there's no question.
It's a very pyrrhic recovery. We've recovered, but we can't afford another one like that.
They've ruined so many words, the left, haven't they? They've ruined smart, sustainable, recovery.
Recession.
Well, they have to ruin all those words. They're like kryptonite to them.
Yeah, because they're actually the lie. You know, it's like reverse psychology. We're in recovery. We're in recovery.
Right. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Stay tuned with us. We do have another guest coming on after the top of the hour. This has been Sovereign Minds, KCNR 1460.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A report released today on a deliberate 2015 airline crash in France that killed 150 people points a finger at the certification process, which failed to identify the risks presented by Germanwings co-pilot Andreas Lubitz. Investigators say Lubitz had been referred by a doctor to a psychiatric clinic 2 weeks before the crash, but the airline wasn't told. Investigators say warnings should be required. Republican Party officials are slowly coming to terms with the idea that Ted Cruz may be the only one to stop Donald Trump, White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
For many GOP officials, Cruz is their second least favorite presidential candidate. After all, the Texas senator is fond of describing Republican leaders as members of the Washington cartel. But Tuesday's winner-take-all contests in Ohio and here in Florida have injected a sense of urgency into the party's anti-Trump movement. Anxious Republicans are reluctantly looking at Cruz as their best chance to prevent Trump from winning the nomination. Greg Clugston, Miami.
New York and a handful of other states have begun taking steps to make it easier for some undocumented immigrants to get the professional licenses that would allow them to work in fields like teaching, nursing, and architecture.
A state board that oversees licensing for more than 50 different types of professionals is adopting regulations opening its application process to certain immigrants who arrived in the U.S. as children. The change involves a limited class of immigrants granted the legal right to work in the U.S. under the Obama administration's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals policy. Other states taking similar steps include California, Florida, and Nevada. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Russian officials claim they have information that Turkey's military is now entrenched a few hundred yards inside Syrian territory to block Kurdish groups. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Secretary of State John Kerry is meeting with new French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault and Europe's top diplomats today to discuss major international issues, including the Syrian peace talks. The British, German, and Italian foreign ministers and the EU foreign policy chief also joining the meeting today in Paris. That meeting comes ahead of UN-sponsored indirect peace talks on Syria, which are scheduled to start tomorrow in Geneva, amidst a two-week partial ceasefire that has mostly held. Diplomats to also discuss a possible initiative to restart the Palestinian-Israeli peace process. Kuwait's ambassador to Lebanon says a third Kuwaiti citizen has been killed in the Mediterranean country in the past 3 days. Two other Kuwaitis were found dead Thursday inside a room of a restaurant they owned near Beirut. The killings come 2 weeks after Kuwait and other Gulf Arab states urged their citizens to keep out of Lebanon. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court is considering reviving a law that would allow Second Amendment advocates to pursue lawsuits against towns and cities that enact gun control measures.
The law, passed in the final hours of the 2014 legislative session, was part of a bill dealing with the theft of scrap metal. Trouble is, Pennsylvania law bars legislators from forcing votes on more than one subject in a single bill. The Commonwealth Court overturned the law because of the way it was passed, but not before dozens of municipalities rolled back gun control legislation rather than risk a lawsuit. Several Democratic state senators challenged the law, along with the mayors of Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Lancaster.
Correspondent Rich Thomason, feeling confused today? Well, there's probably lots of reasons that could be, but maybe it's because you forgot that daylight saving time is upon us. Should have pushed your clock forward by one full hour before you went to bed last night. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You're listening to KCNR 1460. You can go to KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. Sorry.
Boy,
don't jump on that too fast.
Messed that all up.
Okay.
You're fired.
Who's better than to say it than Donald?
There you go. I want to hear that over and over again. I just want to hear it. Yeah, I mean, we need like, you're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
But we'll have to play that for, you know, like 3 or 4 hours easy to say it to all the agencies, you know what I mean? Just after one after another.
What needs to happen. They just need to fire them all. Mm-hmm. So we still have Terry on the line, I think. We didn't cut him off. It was the top of the hour. We didn't have a choice. And I think we missed your last comment, Terry.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I can hear you guys perfectly now.
Oh, good. What happened?
Yeah, it's and I got to tell you, Mark, I mean, I, like many other listeners, absolutely love you. You and Linda and Red have just done such a great job on the radio program, but I want to weigh in a bit on what your last guest said. I like people that get on and say that they're experts about stuff, but really and truly, there are people on the East Coast and on the West Coast who physically are talking to China right now as we speak. Economically, they have been pulling people out of their factories and putting them into fields for agriculture. That's what's actually happening on the ground over there.
Well, they just laid off 5 million factory
workers.
Well,
and you know why, right? Because what's happening is that we're having a global meltdown for goods and services, and they forgot about food.
Yes, you're right, my good friend.
Having a meltdown.
Here's the other thing that I wanted to bring up before the break that I didn't get a chance to. You know, you talk about price differential. I don't think that, with all due respect to Michael, does he understand that it's 500% difference, not just 20% or 10%. If something costs a dollar from us, from China, it's $5 here. That's a huge difference. A lot of that is corporate tax. And here's the other thing, too. Until the American economy raises to a point to where we can afford to buy American, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but until we can afford to, how in the world are factories and companies supposed to compete, number one? The second thing is that when you have a situation like that, I mean, just, you know, what about your wife, Mark? When she goes, somebody may drive 2 miles for an extra 10 cents a gallon. Somebody may drive, you know, to a different grocery store if they can buy bread for $1 a loaf rather than $1.50 a loaf. What if bread was $5 a loaf or $1 a loaf, but it still was bread? Which one are you going to buy?
That's a trick question, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And Doug LaMalfa, Red, you're right on. I mean, I am so tired of listening to the whining and all the other stuff and nothing really getting done. You know, and to me, I mean, I can't say this over the radio, but to a degree, you know, metaphorically speaking, if you take the creator of the universe and think of his name, and then you think of what blocks water, a big wall, and you take those two, and then you take an affectionate name for a kitty cat, that's what he's been through this whole time.
Yes.
You know, and I loved it the way Red called in today. It's time to stand up. Folks, this is getting to be the end game here. You know, when you listen to Mark talk about the economy, all this stuff, believe me, 5 years ago I knew nothing. When I became friends with Mark Kent, I learned an awful lot. He did a remarkable thing with spoons that I'll never forget on showing me how the economy worked. The point is that we have to start really paying attention. This is the real deal. I'm tired of people calling us, oh, yeah, you know, we need to buy American. How do we do that? How do we buy a pair of jeans when they're made in China for two or three times the amount less than what you buy them in America for? How does that work?
Well, you're right, Terry. I mean, but what's going to happen here, whether we want it to or not, or whether we can buy or not, is a reset is coming across
right.
the board, and the reset is going to entail us to start producing, or we're not going to be able to buy anything.
You're right.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. And these guys that have sold us out, you know, like LaMalfa, you know, for his little rice farm down there, is going to be affected just like everybody else, whether he knows it or not. And when the pitchforks and the torches come out, you know, these guys are not going to be immune to that. That's why everybody's jumping behind Trump. They're mad, and there's righteous anger here as well. I mean, it's not just everybody's walking around hating things and they're mad. There's anger. Building because these guys have ignored us. They've marginalized us. They've ignored us. You know, they've tried to hide what they're doing. You know, in secret meetings with laws that, you know, nobody reads, and people are angry. But this whole thing is coming to a head, and it needs to. It should have came to a head 8 years ago or 7 years ago in 2008 when they should have just let the big banks fail and let's get this thing over on the reset.
I think people are realizing that we've been thrown to the wolves.
Right. We have. We've been
slaughtered.
In football terms, it's the fourth quarter. We're down by 13 points, and we're still talking about run left, throw over the middle, punt the football.
Right.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. Okay, they talk about, like the gentleman was talking about, well, you know, they just don't honor the trade agreements. Well, no kidding. We have a congressman that won't even honor our phone calls. He gets 1,000 calls not to vote for Boehner. His staff tells us that he hasn't made a decision yet. We get an email, which we have on file, from a low-line staffer in Redding, California, that sends us an email that says that they already voted in a conference vote. Don't even bother to call. He's already voted. Yet his chief of staff, nobody knows in Washington, D.C., they tell the people that call in, not one phone call saying, oh, yeah, you need to back Boehner. And that's just typical. TPA, continuing resolution.
Well, remember,
on and on and on.
Remember after that, he was so pompous as to say he wasn't even going to tell us how he was going to vote.
Yeah,
until after he voted.
There's no consequences. And then Joe Montez, who's a guy who's running, I heard last night his staffer was talking about all this. You know, you don't want Joe Montez. He does this and he's done that. He's done this and he's done that. I mean, how about the things that your guy is going to do? rather than worrying about what the other guy has done in the past, or, and even if it's true or not.
Well, how about the guy? What our guy has done? He's voted for the Cromney bus. He voted for the Dark Act. He voted to for Monsanto. He voted. I mean, he takes money from Monsanto to vote for them. I mean, he's supposed to stand up for us on all of these issues and defund Obamacare. Take your pick.
Well, the thing is that, you know, when I questioned him about that, when he was on Carl Bonner, I asked him, well, what about that $317,000 from Monsanto? Oh, we didn't get that all at once. Oh, you're not saying you didn't get it. You just didn't get it all at once.
Well,
unreal. It's just unbelievable
more than a purchase.
They can vote for lease. Someone like that.
Well, and you know what I remember him saying about that in the meeting over there at the Tea Party was, oh, I hate this part about the money. I don't even like to touch the checks.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah, well, Sally and I were gone during that, but I know that we were able to watch I remember that because we were able to watch the DVD.
I don't like to touch the checks. I just like to get them cashed and put in my account.
And then when you hold him to task, oh, you're just being mean to Doug. Quit being so mean to him.
And quit
getting
all your...
Well, you know, and we hurt his feelings. I mean, really? I mean, when he got off the phone with Carl Bott, the last time he spoke, he started bad-mouthing the Tea Party. Well, gee, it was all fine and dandy when the Tea Party was having him in and when people were backing him,
well,
right?
That's the way it works.
And then when you go to ask him something, listen, the Tea Party has had a lot of patience with that particular person. They have had a lot of patience. It wasn't even until the TPA that really did it, and that was like number three or four on the chart.
Well, Terry, I think
the big one that broke it loose for a lot of people is when he voted for Boohoo Boehner.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people, that was the last straw. He was definitively told by his constituents before, during, and after the election, thou shalt not, and he gave everybody the finger and then explained to them why they're a bunch of ignorant people that read the Internet too much.
Well, it's worse than that. You and I and Pete Peters were at a meeting, remember, and Sally. We were at a meeting sitting
clearly.
There when basically we called him on the carpet for the fact that it wasn't so much, even the vote, that could be a non-issue. Say he voted for Boehner and he didn't listen to his constituents. The worst part is the constituents called in, including one of his staff members, who at the time was friendly to us, including one of the staff members that called his second-in-command, and his second-in-command says, well, the congressman hasn't voted yet. So in other words, he hasn't made up his mind. But again, I go back to the fact that we have an email from a low-line staffer here in Reading who sent an email out saying and stating, don't call because he already voted in the conference vote in November. We already have that email. So how does a low-line staffer in Redding, California know something his chief of staff didn't even know? How does that work?
Would that be the same staffer that we also have an email from that threatened to go to war with the Tea Party and threatened to use congressional influence against us if we didn't back what they wanted? Would that
or
be the same staffer?
Maybe the same staffer that has recently gone up and talked to different people to divide a lot of people in particular issues like the state of Jefferson and saying things like, well, you know, if it wasn't for so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, there would probably be an open mind. Okay, so in other words, you don't want sovereignty. You don't want a situation where there's freedom. You don't want liberty. You don't want anything. Oh, okay, well, let's say these people resign. Is that going to change? Well, no. Point is that I think everyone is tired of it. Everyone is tired of the fact that we have representatives that don't represent us. And by gosh, by golly, you know, one other quick thing about Donald Trump. You guys all know who Dave Bryan is, right?
No.
Okay, Dave Bryan is a pastor. He is well-connected around the world.
He is
the pastor of the Embassy campus. He's the pastor of God Tidings Church, a huge campus in Live Oak. We spent a couple of days down there. We spent a whole morning with him talking about stuff, and he made an interesting observation about Donald Trump. The evangelicals are moving toward Donald Trump in droves. They're coming out and they're voting. You know why? Because they're fed up, too. And here's something else. Ben Carson, just as you know,
right,
endorsed Donald Trump.
Yep.
What about a Donald Trump-Ben Carson ticket?
I'm in.
What about that?
I'm in. I mean, I'm done. I mean, I'm ready to move on with Donald at this point because, you know, I liked Cruz, but the connections to Goldman Sachs and the loans and other things have diverted me from that. But, you know, the choice right now is Cruz, Trump, or Bernie, because you can't vote for Hillary and you can't vote for Bernie either, really.
You can't vote for Bernie, I mean.
In your head.
Well, Cruz would make a good Supreme Court judge, wouldn't he?
I agree. And also, you know, Trump's talked about appointing Judge Andrew Napolitano towards the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And that's a big deal there because he's for the Constitution. So
yes.
I think there's a lot more to Trump than everybody realizes. You know, I think that he's not exposing all of his policies that he could at this point because it would just be cannon fodder for the media. And so I think he's letting little by little out on his positions. And I think he's a good guy, and he's actually an American who cares about America, which I just don't see it, you know, with the other candidates that much. It's, you know, the politicians and the political class are the criminal crony class, just like Greg Hunter has been saying. And Trump is going to expose that, and he's also going to stop the bloodsuckers from taking the American people to the cleaners.
Well, the other thing about Donald Trump, too, is you don't become a multi-billionaire by not trusting the people who you delegate things to. You know, he doesn't know everything that goes on in each one of his companies, but he has people that he can trust that are experts that know more about the subject than he does, and he trusts that. A lot of people are afraid he may make a snap decision and da-da-da-da-da. I don't think so. And one other thing, too, that was interesting, my wife and I watched an interview with his wife. You know, I know he married her for her brains, right? But
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but anyway, it was an amazing interview because she is foreign, and people from Europe or from overseas, a lot they speak very frankly. A word means something to them, and you could see she had a mind of her own, and you also could see that she may not agree with him all the time,
right.
Which goes to lend to that Donald Trump isn't some guy who just, it's my way or the highway, it's this or that. I don't believe that. I think that he actually makes decisions based upon the information he gets. Henry Ford didn't know how a V8 worked, but he knew the people who could make the V8 work.
Well, that was whole Henry Ford's whole deal was that he knew he wasn't the smartest guy in the room, so he surrounded himself with the smartest guys in the world. And that's what we're talking
listen
about.
Listen to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I better get off here and
we've got to go.
Just been amazing. I know. Thanks for letting me rant.
That's all right.
All right. Thanks
but
for
I,
calling
you know,
in.
I get tired of these so-called experts who know all this stuff of what's going on overseas. Really? How are we going to fix it? Oh, that's great. Let's buy American. I'm all for that. I mean, you know, I'm all for that. But when you have a 5 or 6 to 1 ratio, how do these companies do that in software?
Terry.
How do they do it?
Terry, we got to go.
All right. Anyway, I love you guys.
All right. All thanks, Terry.
Right.
Okay, very good.
Bye.
Goodbye. Yeah, we actually have a guest in the studio with us. We've got Steve Baird, who is running for Ted Gaines' seat in District 1. I knew that. I kind of knew that. Yeah, I'm getting confused with all this district stuff, so I'm going to have to do a little primer.
Mark, here's an easy way to remember it. District 1.
Oh, that's a Ted Nugent sign.
It is.
That's a Ted Nugent party. We got
that?
It.
What is that? The middle finger of defiance party?
Yeah, that's it. We like that. Party. Yeah.
Well, I have never meshed on the local stuff, and I'm getting more into it. But I mean, Ted Gaines is in District 1. We've got Mike McGuire in District 2. Jim Nielsen is District 4. It's confusing the way they've done these districts, and the assemblymen and the senators. And
well, they play musical districts every couple of elections.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And the one guy's over here one time, and then he's over here the next time. I can't remember whose guy is in whose place. So it's very confusing. And I'd like to just have my own county senator that I could call up.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, you actually have a representative.
I'm so sorry for the guy from some of these counties, the phone calls every morning. Hey.
Anyway, we have Steve Baird. I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's a Scottish name, I imagine.
Oh, yes. We used to be the sheriffs of Peebles County, just north of Glasgow, Scotland.
There you have it.
So that's why there are so many of us, and that's why Mark and I are not directly related, but because in Scotland it's just like Smith.
The other bear.
The other bear, yes.
It's true. Well, anybody who's Celtic or Scotch-Irish is okay by me. So, anyway,
the Scots, all they are is an Irishman that got drunk and lost one weekend and never went home.
And crossed
the channel and woke up in Dublin or something.
How did we get here?
I don't know, but we better pick a fight. So anyway, we probably need to go to a break and come back and then regroup.
You've been listening to Sovereign Minds here at KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Daddy, no crime, 'cause if you get it wrong, you'll get it right next time.
Save the date, May 20th. Chicks and Chaps is right around the corner. Deadline for purchasing tickets is May 1st. Only 100 tickets will be sold, and the tickets are selling fast. Chicks and Chaps and the Reading Rodeo Association Auxiliary are holding their 5th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Fundraiser. There will be awesome raffle prizes, a one-of-a-kind buckle from Montana Silversmith, great food by Mary's Pizza, fun and informative guest speakers, including a breast cancer survivor. The proceeds from our event benefit Mercy Foundation North and NorCal Think Peak. Special thank you to Sierra Pacific Foundation, Cinerama, and Dutch Bros. Purchase your tickets now only online before they sell out at www.chicksandchapsreading.com. Chicks and Chaps, May 20th. This is my fight.
Hi, I'm Mary McCurdy, and I represent Properties by Merit. We are a locally owned full-service real estate firm. Whether you are buying or selling, I can help. Call me today at 949-1550 or check out my website at marymccurdy.com. At Properties by Merit, we make your dreams become reality. Call or text me at 949-1550.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of clear pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men follow. Can't you hear the thunder? You gotta run, you gotta take cover. Fine dress from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. He does know and mention
her. Sovereign Mind Radio. We think our representatives might be coming from a land down under. All excluded.
Under what?
Under what?
Be careful.
Present company excluded. We got Steve Baird with us, and he's running for District 1 against Ted Gaines. You know, no gain, no pain. Or was it? No, no, that wasn't it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Less gains, less pain.
Less gains, less pain.
Yeah, there is two of them. That's the scary part.
And I could go in for... 30 seconds. You've got Ted Gaines running for Senate 2016. You've got Beth Gaines, who's moved to El Dorado County to be the first district supervisor there, but she's also signed up for the FPPC to take over Ted's place in 2018. Yes, as a half his term, so he can go to the Board of Equalization. And she's already collecting money for her rerun in 2020 for the Senate seat.
Wow. Yeah, so they don't even want the jobs they're running for. They're just stepping stones.
Well,
it's like
at the political training that we took. They said they all have dreams of being in the White House. I mean, that's what it is. They all are going to climb the ladder, the political ladder, and one day they're going to be sitting behind the Oval Desk running everything.
Yeah, the more corrupt they come, they get
seems like
promoted.
Yeah,
in their status. So
you're fired.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Fire.
Billy Bob, we got Billy Bob on the line. He's got a quick comment, and then we're going to play a video from Ben Swan that I want to get about the superdelegates. Are you there, Billy?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, great show, you guys, and I just wanted to congratulate you, Mark, after the months I've been trying to tell you about Trump.
I knew exactly where you were going, Billy Bob.
And then Peter's going to chime in, too.
I've been expecting this phone call.
But, hey, it is so wonderful to see that we have someone that can take this battle to these liberals, and like yesterday at one of his rallies, he didn't mention it on your show, but he told the crowd, he says, when he had a few protesters stand up and the cops grabbed him and let him off and whatnot, and he told the crowd, he says, hey, we're not in a hurry, and we'll just take these guys out one at a time. And
we have all the time in the world.
Yeah, we have all the time, and the crowd's just crazy, and what we have is a movement, like he says. Plus, the fact is that his trade policies, and there isn't going to be any of this hocus pocus. Yeah. And you're right. He's going to bring these bureaucracies in, and he's going to fire them all.
That's
what we need to do. Put the power back to the states, including the state of Jefferson, and we'll go from there.
Yep.
And I'll let you guys go.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Oh, one other thing.
Oh.
He in that rally yesterday, he says, we are going to take this country back from these liberal radicals.
Well, there you go.
And that was remarkable. And who else is going to stand up and say that except for Donald Trump? So carry on. All right.
Thanks a lot, Billy.
I thought I heard that at a Jeb Bush rally. Then there a pregnant pause there somewhere?
Yeah, I'm circling through the data bank here. And, no. No.
Well, you got.
I think basically the Jeb campaign could be summed up as, why doesn't anybody love me?
Yeah. Well, mommy does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mommy and daddy.
Not anymore.
George is George's the favorite.
They kicked him to the curb once again.
No Bush the third.
Yeah, we got the you're fired up. So we've got a video here that I want to get out there, and then we can talk about it. This is from Ben Swan, and this explains some of the super delegates for the Democratic Party and how they work and how Hillary basically – how this is being manipulated by the Democratic Party to put whoever they want in there. And this is similar on the Republican side as well at the conventions, what they did to Ron Paul the one year. So go ahead and play it, Bob, and let's hear this, and then we'll talk about it.
The Democratic Party has a problem. Superdelegates, a system the party created to protect itself from the wrong kind of Democratic nominee. But those superdelegates could actually destroy the Democratic Party going into this year's presidential election. This is a reality check you won't see anywhere else.
Well, look, I won one of the contests and lost another close one. I'm continuing to work hard for every single vote across our country. I was pleased that I got 100,000 more votes last night than my opponent and more delegates.
And I think in the coming weeks and months, we're going to continue to do extremely well, win a number of these primaries, and convince superdelegates that Bernie Sanders is the strongest candidate to defeat Donald Trump.
Well, that was Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders going at it in last night's Democratic debate on CNN. Sanders coming off a huge win in Michigan, a race the polls had him losing by 20 points. But Sanders, he beat Clinton 49.8% to 48.3%. Of course, that remember in a primary, winning votes is not as important as winning delegates. Sanders picked up 65 delegates to Clinton's 58 delegates. Now, if we're doing a true pledge delegate count, it looks like this. Right now, Hillary Clinton has the lead with 745 pledge delegates compared to Bernie Sanders' 540 pledge delegates. So Clinton is currently leading by 205 delegates. But the real problem for Sanders, unpledged delegates, also known as superdelegates. The unpledged delegate count looks like this. Of the total 712 superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has 461, Bernie Sanders has only 25. So who are these superdelegates? Well, they are party elites like Democratic governors, members of Congress, well-connected Democratic state legislators, and state party officials. Again, it takes 2,383 delegates to win the Democratic nomination. But get this, one-third of that number is actually made up of superdelegates. According to the New Republic, superdelegates were put in place to stop grassroots populist candidates like George McGovern and Jimmy Carter from winning the nomination over the establishment party-approved insiders. A great example of how this works, a tweet from former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. He said this just the other day. Someone tweeted at him saying, "Your superdelegate vote goes to Hillary no matter what. Way to represent the people. At Bernie Sanders will make a great president in spite of you." Dean then responded like this. "Superdelegates don't represent people. I'm not elected by anyone. I'll do what I think is right for the country." And in that case, Dean is right. He does not represent the people. And that's precisely the reason that with every state that Sanders continues to win, the superdelegates actually damage the party they're supposed to protect. Why? Well, simply put, Sanders on the Democratic side and Trump on the Republican side, they're both pulling from disenfranchised voters who simply feel that the political process is rigged against them. And the truth is, the system is rigged. Both the Republican and Democratic parties are private clubs. And the rules of those clubs are designed to protect the party, not represent the people. And that's what you need to know, because here's the bottom line. Right now, Hillary Clinton has won the majority of the vote in 12 states. Bernie Sanders, he's won the majority in 9 states. But when you take the pledged and the superdelegate count together, Clinton more than doubles Sanders' numbers of delegates. In a different year, the Democratic Party might be able to get away with using superdelegates to protect the party. But if the Democratic voters feel that their candidate is getting cheated by party insiders, of all people, then the Democrats better be ready to have a large number of those voters stay home in November during the general election. That's reality check. Let's talk about that tonight on Twitter.
Burn it all.
Wow. I mean, I guess that just didn't make, MSNBC. don't understand why. You know, Rachel Maddow, she's all over that stuff, isn't she? Or does she get paid by...
Didn't make it up the leg of her pantsuit.
You know, it takes all kinds of critters to make Farmer Vincent's fritters, you know what I mean?
It does.
You know, I mean, and it takes all kinds of money to pay off all of these guys. I mean, that's why the Clinton Foundation does so well. You know, you got to go to all these foreign countries and sell secrets through your server that's not protected and make sure that they give you the big payoffs to your foundation while you... You know, who knows where that money's going? You know, I guess they won't audit that thing or nothing.
Do they get it all at once?
You know, I think it's incremental. You know, you don't want to get too much in your bank account at once because you might have to report that, you know.
Yeah.
So well, they do under $10,000 so they don't have to tell the IRS.
Well, I would like to make one prediction, no matter what you think of Donald Trump. If the Republican Party continues to try and push him out and disenfranchise him, it will be the death of the Republican Party.
Well, see, that's what you're seeing, and that's why I wanted to do this, is because this is on both sides of the aisle. You got the elitist Republicans and the elitist establishment Democrats who are above the populace. Your vote doesn't count. They got guys that the fix is in. You know, she's so arrogant that, you know, she said the other night on her campaign trail here that, you know, she was asked if she was going to be indicted. And her answer is not going to happen, and she's not even going to answer the question. Well, I guess the fact that, you know, we've got the guy who put the server together, he just got immunity, and he's testifying in front of a grand jury, and the fact that she destroyed evidence, obstruction, you know, taking foreign money. That was Arnold.
That did that by itself.
Yeah, I mean, see, it's all rigged. But you know, all of this stuff, you know, we know that from the FBI that her server was hacked by the Russians, and she's trying to say that it's classified not classified material when it doesn't even, you know, that it's all word games. It's not legal things. You know, it doesn't matter. She, you know, has got a server that's unprotected over in her basement at Chappaqua, and she's not worried about anything because maybe she's not going to get indicted because the fix is in. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
It's hard to believe what's going on at that level. So I think that if the FBI was doing his job and if the AG was doing her job, that the normal course for any American soldier, you've seen it time and again, doing simple things and getting court-martialed for, this is basically treason, and she needs to be in front of court, not of her peers, but of the people, to adjudicate this situation.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting if they don't indict. If the grand jury recommends indictment and Loretta Lynch, who's a crony of Obama, basically, doesn't indict, she's got some splaining to do. I mean...
Well, these last 8 years have proven that you can do anything you want, and there's no repercussions for it.
And no explaining.
Well, California is a good example of that, too. Look at our Attorney General, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
You know, there's been numerous things that have been brought up about different elected officials in this state and that they should be prosecuted for.
Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown is a prime example. I mean, Leland Yee is... selling stolen anti-aircraft missiles to terrorists. 5 years. Really?
Yeah.
5 years.
Well, why don't you burn 136 acres and improve the land? You get 5 years as well.
Well, and I have a clip that we're going to play on that a little later on in the show here about, you know, we got a sheriff in Paiute County over in Utah basically saying that he's ready to deputize everybody in the state in order to get rid of the BLM cronies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the representative out of Utah is preparing a bill to remove the law enforcement powers of BLM and the Forest Service. Who engaged and entitled these guys to have law enforcement powers in the Forest Service?
Well, that's
what I was
your tree counters.
Well, and that's why we want to kind of go over this posse comitatus stuff a little bit here, because it's incredible how far we've fallen from, you know, protecting, you know, having limited government and having government there to protect us, and how, you know, that's what they were afraid of, was a big, huge centralized government that would take over. So, you know, maybe we can get Bob to cue that up on the YouTube there for the sheriff. It's actually an info or InfoWars. I got this from InfoWars, and it's an opinion piece, but kind of says what we're talking about here. You know, you look at this Lavoie stuff, Finnecombe up there in Burns, Oregon, who gets shot down, and now the FBI murdered and
in cold, premeditated blood.
Now it's coming out that the FBI agents didn't tell everything. They fired more shots than they said. They set up this ambush, you know, basically because the you know the videos are showing Lavoie was saying we need to get to Grant County sheriffs.
Right.
How about the lead Oregon State police officer saying that the operation was carried out in Harney County because the sheriff in Grant County was sympathetic to the cause, and they expected a different peaceful resolution, and that they could not be allowed to travel to Grant County specifically because Grant County has declared itself a UN-free zone. Well, what is that about?
Let's go ahead and play this video, Bob. And I think this same David Love agent was involved in all of this.
Mr. Love and Mr. Bretzing have been all over several of these.
The BLM is back in the news again. This time we hear from a sheriff in Utah who said he'll deputize the entire county, every man, woman, and child if he has to, in order to defend the land rights of local citizens from an occupying federal army. You hear the phrase posse comitatus. And typically we think of the Posse Comitatus Act, which is an act that limits the power of the federal government to use the federal military to enact domestic policy. Think about that. We don't want a military coming into our communities. We don't want soldiers. We don't want martial law. Okay, that's why we have the Posse Comitatus Act. But what does Posse Comitatus really mean? It literally means the power of the county. The sheriff of the county would call a posse. We've all seen the westerns, right? You have the sheriff who was elected, not appointed by some kind of law enforcement bureaucracy, not appointed by some distant federal government that is as far distant geographically as the British government was geographically from the American colonies at the time of the Revolutionary War. So law enforcement was centered around one elected official and some of his permanent deputies. But when something big would happen, they would deputize people and they would create a posse to keep the peace in the county.
We're not taking no more cats on the mountain. I'll deputize every man, woman, and child in that county to stop what's going on.
So how did we get to the situation where the federal government is bullying local citizens to the point where a sheriff has to threaten to deputize the entire county? As a recent article from High County News has pointed out, this is a result of an arms race by the BLM, an arms race on the range. Until 1978, there were no badged BLM agents. At first, there were only 13. They modeled themselves after Park Service Rangers and carried only pistols. 2 years earlier, there had been a Federal Land Policy Management Act of 1976 that granted law enforcement authority to the agency. But it also emphasized that they rely upon local law enforcement. And at first, they cooperated with county sheriffs. But within just a few years, they were seeing heavily armed agents. Chris Hartman, who was hired as a ranger in 1984, recalls a series of controversial equipment upgrades. Shotguns in the 80s, semi-automatic rifles in 1992, high-powered assault rifles in the early 2000s. Then she left the BLM for the Forest Service, and she saw the same pattern happening there. But she said, still, the sheriffs were ahead of us in terms of weaponry. Is this some kind of an arms race between local law enforcement and federal agents?
In 1996 alone, at least 2,439 new federal cops were authorized to carry firearms. That takes the total up to nearly 60,000. Farah points out that these cops were not only in agencies like the FBI, but include the EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Army Corps of Engineers. Even Bruce Babbitt, according to Farah, wants to arm the Bureau of Land Management. Farah logically asks, when will the NEA have its armed ARC cops?
We have to understand that whenever the federal government starts arming itself with high-powered military equipment, they are turning themselves into a standing army, and they will use this against the citizens. As elsewhere in law enforcement, 9/11 changed things. It created a restructuring. Former BLM director Bob Abbey said it created a faction within the agency. And he said, I think in many respects they have become a separate organization. So-called special agents in charge were given autonomy over large regions. The most controversial of these special agents has been Dan Love, special agent for Utah and Nevada. He was a special agent in charge at the Bundy standoff, but he was controversial long before that. His first controversy involved illegal artifact trading in southeast Utah, going back to 2009. In that case, a doctor who was very beloved to the small community that he served was accused of taking an Indian artifact from the land that the federal government claims belongs to them. The item in question was a bead, less than half the size of a dime. The wrongful death complaint by the doctor's family said the BLM agent Love had doubled the value of the item so the charge would rise to that of a felony. And they also said this was retaliation for dismissal of similar charges more than a decade earlier. In Utah, the doctor had been accused by a confidential federal informant. The 60-year-old doctor was swarmed by between 80 and 100 agents in full military array, flak jackets, assault weapons. He was manhandled, handcuffed, as he returned home from serving in the community health clinic that he ran. He was taken to his garage, interrogated for 4 hours like a terrorist. He was told that he would lose his medical license, and Agent Love accused him of using garden tools to dig up bodies. The doctor was so distraught by these charges that he committed suicide. The family brought a wrongful death lawsuit against the BLM. The BLM argued that agents have qualified immunity. And a judge eventually dismissed the case, saying the agent's mere presence and proximity to Dr. Red did not create an excessive show of force, even if the agents wore SWAT gear and carried, but did not point, machine guns. Yet the basis for the charges against Cliven Bundy regarding the Bunkerville standoff are that he incited people to carry firearms legally and that the brandishing of firearms alone was a felony threat to federal officers. So what we have here are a set of two different rules. One set for protesters, a completely different set for federal officers. The hallmark of tyranny. But as we're reminded with the recent indictment of Cliven Bundy, special agent in charge, Dan Love, was the center of the Bunkerville standoff. Now even the Clark County Sheriff, Doug Gillespie, friend of Harry Reid, said in interviews with Las Vegas newspapers at the beginning of February that the BLM had lied to him about circumstances of the cattle roundup. Another BLM special agent in charge, Steve Martin, who serves in a different jurisdiction, recalls sitting in the briefing room of Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, listening to the details of a clandestine operation that his agency was planning in the Nevada desert, which would eventually become the Cliven Bundy cattle operation. He characterized the plan as unduly optimistic bravado. And he said, "I remember thinking, is this still the BLM?" He said, "We know there are a lot of people out there who don't like us." And he believes things would not have come to the kind of head that they did if the BLM had worked with and through the local sheriff instead of lying to him about what was going on. But they didn't. They acted confrontationally, high-handed. And now, after 2 years, they have made good on their vendetta and arrested Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy. Garfield County Sheriff Danny Perkins has said, "We have absolutely no relationship with the BLM. We've tried. They seem to want to do their own things. They do not respect the authority of the sheriff at all." Another county sheriff, Rick Eldridge, says that rangers pull over citizens without probable cause, even in areas where they have no jurisdiction. They bully ranch hands. They berate tourists for parking vehicles off dirt roads. And they illegally close roads. Federal officers refuse to help with search and rescue. When they do, they get in the way, he says. So this is what brings us to the point where Paiute County Sheriff Marty Gleave says, "We're not taking it anymore. I'll deputize every man, woman, and child in the county to stop what's going on."
"I'll deputize every man, woman, and child in that county to stop what's going on."
For InfoWars.com, I'm David Knight.
Well, there you have it. I think that kind of said it a lot in that little clip there about the posse comitatus. And who do you want to be accountable? You know, the sheriff, is our sheriff, where's our sheriff on this stuff? Is he going to back us up against the BLM here in the county?
Nope.
Yeah, is he going to back us up against the Forest Service, the EPA, the NSA, we got the
Oh, there's so many of them. Where do you start?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, and there's a lot more to those stories. For example, the story out of Utah regarding the Indian artifacts, as they said, they used a confidential FBI informant. The truth is they used a former drug addict and continuing drug addict that they were paying $7,000 to $10,000 a month to intentionally set up and entrap individuals so that they could build a case out of nothing. They essentially took a artifact trade that did not exist and created one using this guy, and then began arresting people. And then at the end of it, when everybody was starting to go to trial, their informant had a sense of conscience and started telling people things like, they set me up to do this. They told me to intentionally increase the value of things. They made me lie. The things that were said on tape were pre-planned. And all of a sudden, he committed suicide with a police-issued 38.
Well, I guess that the question becomes then, do we want a set of unelected officials coming in from a centralized government that's 3,000 miles away, who have no control over at all, or do we and let's just abolish the Posse Comitatus Act, or do we want to have a local sheriff who's elected by the people locally, who controls the county for the benefit of the people?
Well, that's things that can be handled by a sovereign state and representatives of the kind that Steve Baird would be, that is willing to stand up and defend the people at the expense of himself and his career.
Absolutely. So, the first difference, we're not getting that representation. I think the focus is on drones this year, like it was last year. So all the issues that we're going through and what we're seeing on TV and the execution of American citizens trying to exercise their rights, and it's just like, oh, it'll cycle out of the news in 3 days and we'll just move on. Nothing mm-hmm. to see here.
Yeah. Well, that's
The kind of things that I think need to be answered is, what are our representatives going to do to get us back into our forests so that we can maintain them for public safety and get our economy stimulated? What kind of things are we going to do to bring economic growth here, where we can put the manufacturers right on top of the resources themselves, that shorten and shrink the cost of the supply chain? These are the kind of things that we need to be hearing from our representatives, not about, oh, well, we might pass some legislation to stop the kid next door flying his helicopter over your house.
Well, also, when you look at some of the sheriffs, there are some sheriffs within Jefferson, and the territory would be Jefferson, that can stand up. If they do it first and they strip the law powers from the feds and tell them, get out of here, and, oh, by the way, I think this forest is a little bit too overgrown, let's bring the forestry industry back, clear this back so we're not having these catastrophic wildfires, and maybe that'll catch on, that spirit will catch on, so the next brave sheriff will step forward and clear them all out.
And there are a few with that kind of chutzpah, like DeAugustino out of El Dorado County, who canceled the memorandum of law enforcement with guys like Forest Service and the BLM, because they laid that out very clearly. They are a standing domestic military force. They have military training and military equipment.
Well, see, and what we've got to do is combat the narrative, because the narrative is the federal government is always right, and these guys up there in Oregon, for example, were militants. No, they were protesters. They were protesting and trying to draw attention to the fact that the BLM was unconstitutionally, taking land over, big swaths of land, and throwing the ranchers off and not working in conjunction with the sheriffs and the local officials like they were supposed to. And they're being armed and not responsive to any of the local people. I mean, that's the problem, is that this big federal out of control government is it, but the mainstream media keeps telling us, they put buzzwords on them like militants or they're terrorists
or anti-government.
No, we're anti-illegal government that's unconstitutional, that's not responsive to the people and is no longer
following
under control.
The Constitution.
Yeah, they're not under control anymore. They have their own, they have their own agendas, and it's not the people's agendas. It's not for the good of everybody. It's for the good of the few, the establishment, the criminal mm-hmm. cronies. And so that's what we're dealing with, and we've got to change the narrative. And
our representatives are up to their neck in that, and a lot of that is the gangrene criminal syndicate, the environmental syndicate. You're talking about everything from mitigation banks to shutting down the forests so that political contributors can build solar plants or geothermal plants or windmill farms or things like that. And in essence, the inheritance of the American people is being stolen, and it is being stolen by the federal government.
Well, everybody needs to get involved in the state of Jefferson. Go to staterjefferson.net and get on the 51sters, click on that, and you can see who the legislatures are and start calling these guys every day, and let's start making some noise. Anyway, we're down to the last 30 minutes before we're
30 minutes?
30 seconds.
We're at the top of the hour. We'll be going into the third hour here shortly with Solver Minds, and I'm sure that...
We have a minute left.
Okay,
Steve Bayard.
Yeah, let's correct the website. It's SOJ51.net.
I'm sorry. I'm looking right at it. SOJ51.net.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't going to say anything. Thank you, Steve. But you'll hold over with us on the next hour, and we'll continue this conversation. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
What?
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A sweeping new report on the 2015 Germanwings crash was released this morning in Paris.
Investigators say the pilot's certification process had failed to identify the risks presented by co-pilot Andreas Lubitz. In a report on the March 2015 crash, they say Lubitz had been referred by a doctor to a psychiatric clinic just before he crashed a plane into mountains, killing everyone on board, and that this key information had not been delivered to the company he worked for, Germanwings. The probe concluded that the co-pilot's symptoms at the time could be compatible with a psychotic episode. I'm Charles Ledesma.
A man arrested after jumping onto the stage at a Donald Trump rally in Ohio yesterday reportedly told police he planned to grab the microphone and yell that Trump is a racist, but Thomas DeMassimo tells officers he didn't intend to hurt anyone, according to a police report obtained by the Dayton Daily News. The 22-year-old theater student charged with misdemeanor inducing panic and disorderly conduct and released on bail. Elsewhere, Republican presidential hopeful Marco Rubio is vowing to stay in the race, even though he's lagging in the polls and the GOP delegate count. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
Rubio has a lot riding on the results of Tuesday's winner-take-all primary in Florida. 99 delegates are up for grabs in the Sunshine State. A loss here would spur intense calls from fellow Republicans to end his presidential campaign. Likewise, John Kasich is facing a make-or-break contest in his home state of Ohio, where 66 delegates are at stake. Greg Clugston, Miami.
France is raising the possibility of European sanctions against Iran after that country fired two ballistic missiles in tests last week. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the missile launches are a violation of U.N. rules. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free plus free shipping. Call 800-539-1900. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-539-1900. 800-539-1900. That's 800-539-1900. In 1900.
A spokesman says 40,000 Palestinian teachers suspended a three-week-old strike this weekend after President Mahmoud Abbas promised to increase their salaries next year. A teachers' union member says the strike will resume within a week, though, unless the government proves it's ready to make good on its promises. The strike had been accompanied by some of the largest protests against the cash-strapped Palestinian self-rule government in the West Bank in recent years, as well as crackdowns on demonstrators by Palestinian security forces. It was seen as an expression of the public's growing frustration with Abbas. Capital One is teaming up with Amazon to let owners of Amazon's Echo Smart speaker system pay their bills and get other account information through voice commands. Amazon's Echo speakers use a voice command service called Alexa to allow users to perform various tasks, such as turning on smart lights or playing music. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Tragedy at the Iditarod.
A 26-year-old man's in custody suspected of intentionally driving a snowmobile into teams of two mushers near the front of the Iditarod Trail sled dog race Saturday. Arnold Demoski could face charges of assault, reckless endangerment, reckless driving, and six counts of criminal mischief. Demoski said the accident was not intentional, but he blacked out while returning from drinking in another village. The crash has killed one dog and injured three others. Both mushers were unhurt. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, March the 13th, a birthday for a number of celebrities, including actor William H. Macy. He is 66 years old today. Neil Sedaka, the singer and songwriter, 77 today. Danny Masterson, the actor that many saw on That 70s Show, turns 40 years old today. Ever wonder what happened to actress Dana Delaney? Well, she's doing fine after her years on China Beach. She's 60 years old today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents an American classic, Our Town, Thornton Wilder's masterpiece, directed by John Welsh. Our Town is a moving look into the lives and hopes of the residents of a small town in the early 20th century. Our Town begins March 12th with evening shows Friday and Saturday, matinees on Sunday through April 9th at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Tickets for Our Town available now online at CascadeTheater.org or by calling 243-8877.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
It's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. Our great community sponsors are Russell Cleaning Service, the Shasta Athletic Club, Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, Revolve Solar, Gold Star Mortgage, Trinity Termite, Chronic Service Master, and Authority Property Management. Great community members every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear what's going on. Many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform. So tune in each Saturday at 9 to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're in our third hour here, and
let's kind of take a pause here, and let's get back to our guest, Steve Baird, who's been patiently waiting while we go through all of our information that we had to get out.
And, I know, I love listening to it. The world is fascinating, even though it's turning into a hell in a handbasket quickly.
It's true. If nothing else, it's interestingly screwed up. But anyway, I kind of wanted you to, you know, cover your platform and tell us why you're different from Mr. Gaines and, you know, what you're about so that our listeners can, you know, get a kind of a handle on why they want to vote for you.
Well, we've been traveling throughout the entire North State for our Jefferson work and been talking to a lot of people, and there are a lot of issues out there that are not being addressed. You know, foremost up front is property rights, and we're looking at the water rights, and those are 100, 150, you know, even longer years old, and they're not being honored by, you know, the federal government, the state government. All of a sudden, anything that falls out of the air is now belongs to California or the federal government. If the creek is wider than a half inch, then it's a federal waterway now. All these things are being stripped away from our farmers, and you know they're going to be providing the food to us. And we see that kind of it's a similar theme that they're trying to run everybody out of the rural areas, and they think they can go to their local grocery store and be able to just pick up their food, and all the food's going to be gone because it's the people in these rural areas that are growing it, farming it, and raising it for consumption. So there's these two mindsets that just do not mesh together, and that's one of the big things that we've been looking at. And then the overreaches of government. When SB 277 went through, if you talk about personal property rights, if you cannot protect yourself from the government injecting you with something, then where do our, you know, we have no rights left at all. We can't even protect our own bodies.
Well, I have I was going to play a little clip on, and maybe I'll get to it next week, about what to do about the vaccines if you've been injected, how to mitigate it a little bit as far as the effects and so forth. I don't think we're going to have time to get to that today, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and we need to think about getting a sheriff putting pressure on our sheriff to stop this in our county here, and if he's not going to stop it, then we need to think about getting somebody else involved in the process to stop this overreach, this land grab. I mean, we're more worried about, anything but our food production, like you're saying, and you know we're having a global meltdown. If we don't start producing some food and start respecting our ranches and our farmers here and property rights that go with that in the food production, we're going to be in serious trouble.
Well, if we don't take back the power at the state level, we're not going to have anything. We're going to lose it all, our freedom and our liberties, if we don't take back the power.
And I asked Sheriff DeAugustini, is it possible for the layman who's a constitutionalist to actually run for sheriff? And he said, no, they actually changed the law so where you have to come up to the chain, and you're pretty much indoctrinated, so you have to be a law enforcement official, and you grow up in that type of environment, and eventually you get to the top of it. But those 20 or 30 years it took you to get there, you've already been molded. You've already one of their tools, and then you're basically a politician at that point. So it's the rare sheriff that's going to stand up, and the rule is basically you have a politician with a badge.
Well, I mean, how can they make a rule like that only a sheriff who has an administrative background in law enforcement? I mean, I can see having somebody with experience or administrative background, but, you know, to say that nobody else can run, whatever happened to walking tall, you know, where you could run against the sheriff and win and take the county back?
Well, apparently it doesn't exist anymore in California.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's something that we could fix with a sovereign state.
So that's just California, though.
That's California. I don't know if he's across the nation if that's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
But again, we fell asleep and wasn't paying attention, and they slipped that stuff right on in there.
That's why State of Jefferson is so important, because under the equal footing doctrine, we basically start over with the same thing that the original 13 colonies had, so that we could remold and get control back of our rights in the state.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
shaking your head. Oh. I wasn't sure what you're doing. With it. Never mind.
They don't want to know.
We don't want to know.
Forget it.
Hey, so,
but it is very important for us to get the power back and start over again and start with a fresh foundation, because California sure isn't working too well.
So
the way it is,
not even close to working.
Yeah,
well.
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus, things are planning. You know, I mean, so what? You know, what is Gaines about? I mean, you know, I mean, not to start a negative mudslinging type of a conversation.
Will.
Well, we got the Irish bomb thrower over here on the right. But
Mr. Maltoff, what do you think?
But why is he? You know, he's been elected. He's been, you know, in that seat for quite a while, and he seems like he thinks he's untouchable. Why do we need to get rid of him?
First, let me touch on the untouchable point. Went to a Republican class a couple weeks ago, talked to the candidates and volunteers on how to get the Republicans through, and they told you have three priorities. Top priority is maintain the seat with the current seat in the butt, or butt in the seat. And so they basically said, hey, we're not going to support you, Steve. And they're outstanding. The second,
so in other words, in English, keep the incumbent in office.
Keep the incumbent in office. You keep the seat.
Right.
Do not lose the seat.
And why is that important?
They didn't really say if you have somebody who's worthless that you shouldn't replace them inside the party. They just want to maintain the status quo.
Because they have an agenda.
I think it's kind of important to point out, too, to a certain effect, Ted Gaines hasn't been elected time after time after time. The R behind the name Ted Gaines has been elected time after time after time. It's not about Ted Gaines the man. It's about Ted Gaines the Republican.
Right. And so if you put up another Republican that may have value to the people that they're representing, they will not listen. Second thing, get an empty seat. Third thing, if they have to, go up against a Democrat or an opposing party to try to take them out.
So you're running as a Republican.
I'm running as a Republican. I've pretty much been a Republican my entire life, except for a short stint when I got a little angry. Left for about 40, 45 days and flipped back. But, I mean, we're talking politically aware since my early teen years. Mm. It's not something that I awoke to. And I don't think I've missed an election. And I moved around a lot. I don't think I've missed more than one by moving someplace in my entire life. So if they want to go hunt that record down. I always thought that voting was one of the most important privileges that we have. And the exercise of that, you know, that's the beginning of you cannot complain.
Right.
And so, you know, I've held my nose on a number of votes because that's all we had. I mean, it was bad and it was worse. But with this election cycle, I'm very glad to see the Trumpster out there banging away. He's opening doors for those of us who have not been politicians and gives us a foothold to say, we have a better message and we have a better direction. Just let us in. But, you know, that club, you know, they were very polite about it, said, you're not in the club yet. If you get elected, then you'll be a member of the club, and you go right to the front of the class. But until
nice
you get
Montana
there,
payoffs. And
yeah. Until you get in that class, you're not going to be.
Just don't use the money all at once.
Yeah. You know, I they have watered our votes down so much at every level. I mean, you listen to that superdelegate thing with Hillary Clinton. You know, the stuff they've done at the federal level with the Republican Party and the Republican National Convention and changing the rules, John Boehner. You know, and then you know you look at the voting in California. You know, now they again watered down our votes, so we have no representation up here in the North State in Sacramento with the one man one vote thing. And you know, it just is very infuriating that they have watered our votes down so they don't count. But we still want to take back the narrative, and that's what I think you're about, is getting in there and redirecting what we've been doing instead of going along with the status quo.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough for your current representative to say, oh, we're outnumbered and we can't do anything. It has to be the hardest job in the Senate. You have to prove to everybody that we're not being represented. Bring what the people are asking you to do. In the case of Jefferson, just bring up the joint resolution and have them prove that we don't have the representation. And then say, okay, if you don't like Jefferson, how about we go to one senator for 58 counties? so for all 58 counties, so we can get our balanced representation back and have them vote that down and bring up the next one and bring up the next one and bring up the next one and say, well, what are you trying to do? Why are you flooding us with these bills? Because these are what the constituents have been asking for the last 40 years, and you have not been listening.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have 21 counties that got their declarations in, and there's nobody in Sacramento at this point that's even wanting to bring it up for a vote.
Yeah, we talked to Galloway 2 weekends ago, and I brought up this exact same point. And he goes, well, there's something wrong with your signatures. I say, what do you mean there's something wrong with your signatures? These are the signatures of the people that are asking for this, who live in these counties, who want to become Jefferson. Well, they haven't been vetted by the registrar of voters in all these counties. They said, okay, I'll give you an example. 5-year-old walks across the street, gets a jaywalking ticket. Is that individual a subject to the laws of the county? And the answer, and he looked at me and goes, yeah. Said, then why can't they have a voice on their representation? So all these signatures are valid. So you cannot set these artificial bars that we have to jump over to make it for you to it easy to vote for.
Let me ask a more basic question. If we took our declarations into each county registrar and said, okay, verify these signatures, what would they say?
I have no idea what they'd say. I have no clue.
Maybe that's what we ought to do. We ought to take the signatures to the registrars and go, okay, verify them. And when they refuse, what are they going to say then?
Well, they're going to say, this is not attached to any particular bill or movement.
Nor does it have to be.
And they're going to say, hey, you, if you really want to go through our process, you have to walk our line. So you go ahead and sign up. Sign up for your petition so you can get your bill or one of the things starts with an I, initiative forward. And then we'll go ahead and run it.
Would that not strengthen our case if the county registrars refused to validate them?
Well, I think that having our own representatives refuse us is the highest and best value. And we're looking for harm at this point. I think we have it 120 times over.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just gone crazy town to the point of stupidity. I mean, how can they say we have any representatives if you got 21 counties and they won't even address the issue up there, you know, at any level? I mean, isn't that the exact definition of not having a representative?
Here's the ugly truth. You have six to nine people that represents parts of Jefferson. They'll probably lose their jobs in one shape, form, or another. They're trying to protect that. Everybody below the line there, any Republican would be saying, hey, we might be giving the Democrats a supermajority again. We can't have that. So, boom, right out of the gate, you've got our folks, our conservatives, our leaders, basically saying, heck no, we're not going to let this happen, and you're going to fold. So they quietly dismiss us, and that's why it's not going to ever get to a vote unless we get one or two representatives, and I think there are just more than myself that are running towards Jefferson on that platform that are be willing to bring it up.
Wow. Well, I guess the Constitution is still the law of the land, and
Is it?
I mean, petition for redress of grievances.
That's what gives us our standing. That's why we can do what we can do. And Article 4, Section 3, another part of the Constitution, is where we're running towards. And so our, First Amendment, we can do this, and Article 4 says this is your path to getting there. And once this gets ignored, they've created harm.
And it's our due diligence and our duty to remove any legislature that will not support us.
And we only get a shot every 2 or 4 years, and so at the federal level, sometimes 6 years. But this is our time to do it. We have, I'm not registered to vote. I can't do anything. Guess what? You can probably register. Just go redo your car, your driver's license, and you get an instant in like that.
Yep.
But go ahead and do it. If you're going to say, if you don't vote, you have no real right to complain. This is our chance to make the changes.
Well, I've even heard from some people, if the Democrat Heidi Hall had been elected over Doug LaMalfa, at least she would have voted against Boehner, and she would have voted against the TPA and the TPP, and we'd be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, how sad is that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's got to get bad before it gets better. You know, I mean, that's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but at some point, the plane's going to nosedive in. You have to have a little bit of altitude in order to pull the stick back.
Well, yeah. I mean, gosh, how far does it got to fall before we wake up? And I think we are waking up out there. I think that people are seeing that you know, they've been lied to. It's like when I asked Kitty last week about, you know, when
how long did it take before they realized it?
Woke up. Yeah, because I guess we got Ronnie on the line.
Ron from Reading.
Ron from Reading.
Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning. When I signed the petition, I thought that's what you guys were going to do, is take it to the Register of Voters and have them verify it. And, far as I'm concerned, I think that's their job to do that. And is that the office that's in the north end of the, the south end of the old downtown mall?
Yes, it is.
And if that's the place, why don't you get the young lady that runs that to come on your program and, excuse me, and to either give a reason why she will or will not verify those names that everybody signed to become part of Dave Jefferson.
It is a good idea.
That's my thoughts on the thing. I mean, hold their feet to the fire.
And the registrars are elected officials. If they won't verify the signatures, we'll pull them out of there and get somebody that will.
That's exactly my thought. So, anyhow, I'll hang up and let somebody else voice their opinion.
All right, well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
but for me, you know, when I was distraught when Carter got elected when I was 13, how do I voice? I mean, I would have signed the petition for Jefferson, you know, way back then. They're going to say, oh, well, you don't have the right to vote because you're not of age, meaning I don't have intelligence because I don't have enough numbers behind my birthdays. But they would say that I couldn't do this. Well, yes. As an American citizen, I can exercise my right to redress grievances and grieve government. So going through the registrar's office, although, you know, it's a great argument, it's not going to be the full force of having the people rise up. I mean, you can have this peaceful rising where we put all this ink on paper, or we can go to the next steps and we start doing the protests, and, you know, they took over some buildings in Burns, Oregon, and stuff like that. That didn't work out so well for one of our folks. So what do we do next? What's our next move? You know, we ask our representatives, we're coming to you peacefully. Please do this for us. We want to walk our own path. And the only way to do that is follow the blueprint that was left in the Constitution, both houses, and then Congress lets us in, and then we walk our own way. Simple enough.
Interesting. I see I've got a thing here from Sally about there's a fundraiser and petition signing event Saturday, March 19th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 3566 South Highway 26, Valley Springs, California. I'm not sure exactly where that's at, but I wanted if people want to donate to your campaign, how would they do it?
They go to the website at bairdforsenate.org, and there's a bright red button on the right-hand side of the screen. And that's probably the easiest way there. And it is not tax deductible, and you have to answer questions like who's your employer, what's your occupation. And those are some of the things that the Fair Political Practices Commission puts in front of us to make it hard for the little guy to run. But we're following the rules. We're doing exactly as what's laid out in front of us. But bairdforsenate.org is the place you go ahead and make those donations.
Very good. Very good. Maybe we should go to a break, Bob, and then we'll come back, regroup here, and we got about a half an hour left. So,
if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Thank you.
start running your own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Fay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Reading. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Bye.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for North State. And we're here with Steve Baird. And we've been talking about his run for Ted Gaines' seat. And, excuse me, I had a couple of things here. The proper role of the state, I believe the proper role of the state is negative, not positive, defensive, not aggressive. It is to protect, not to provide. For if the state is granted the power to provide for some, it must also be able to take from others. And that always leads to legalized plunder and loss of freedom. If the state is powerful enough to give us everything we want, it is also powerful enough to take from us everything we have. Therefore, the proper function of the state is to protect the lives, liberty, and property of its citizens, nothing more. The state is best which governs least. I think that's really sums it up because, you know, that's why we're in the pickle that we're in, basically, is that, you know, once the state starts promising stuff to other people, it's got to get it from someplace, and pretty soon, you know, they're controlling both sides of the equation. They're controlling the people they take from, and they're controlling the people they give to, and, you know, taking and grafting off whatever they can in the process in the middle.
Absolutely. So when you run out of OPM, other people's money, that's when it starts to collapse.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. That's the old famous Thatcher quote of socialism's as good as until you run out of everybody else's money. Now, you know, I see that, you know, I'm looking at your bio here. You were born in Oakland, and, you know, you're sixth generation California, going back to the gold rush in Nevada City, bachelor's degree, computer science, married for 27 years to Diane, two children, Logan and Adriana. And you're still residing in Placer County up in Weimar?
Yeah, Weimar, Colfax area, yeah.
There you go. You know, so you got a bachelor's degree in computer science, currently working for the Sacramento County Department of Technology. I also see you got a black belt in karate. And you're a fencing instructor. So, in other words, if they don't give you what you want, you're gonna give them the chop socky move. And,
yeah, what we call Plan C.
It becomes Chuck Norris.
We need everybody who's kung fu fighting on, Bob, because that's what's going to be happening in the legislature here pretty soon. But
I'm reading through the First Amendment here, and where it states, Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievance. And all of the precedent in there, nowhere in the precedent of court cases or the statement itself does it say, as long as that petition is authorized or in some duly noted form as created by the separate counties or state.
Yeah, so there's no reason or no ability for the government to be able to stop people from going up and saying, we would like this change. We have a number of people backing us and several different organizations, meaning counties, and go through and say, please change this.
Right.
And when your representatives say, we don't think that you have the right color of ink on the paper, and this one has some coffee spilled on it, and you know every other excuse in the book, not to listen to the people. Well, you know, it's going to hell to pay. I mean, you're in an election cycle, and especially those of you who are in the assembly, every 2 years, we get a thumbs up or thumbs down whether we want to hire you again. So you're in the middle of a job interview right now, ladies and gentlemen, and if you don't suck up to your employers and do what they're asking, then you will be replaced by a worker who will basically do what they're asked.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that you're currently working at Sacramento County Department of Technology as an Information Technology Division Chief for Customer Support Division, and including service desk, field service, airport IT, public defender IT, communication center. So you look like you've got some education pretty well rounded. I also see that you've had some treasury experience with some 501c3 nonprofits, California real estate broker's license. You've been a pretty busy guy. You know, you got, would you put everything on hold because you needed to?
No, I just, information hound. And so I wanted to make sure that I knew enough about real estate. And they said, hey, if you have a master's degree, then all you have to do is take the test. It's like, cool. Then I'll learn everything I need to know about, brokering real estate. You know, I haven't really used the license, but I want to make sure that I wouldn't be taken advantage of, because we always hear that magic, you have to give them 6%. Did you know that that line there, and they just write that in? Because that's a variable amount. And that's what I wanted to know, those inside secrets.
Everything's negotiable.
It's all negotiable. Yeah. You can negotiate on it. So if you have a $2 million house and you can negotiate a 4% split on that between the buying and selling agent, then you can do that. So that's a written-in thing. It's not typed in. It's written in.
Interesting. So with all this experience, you're going to feather right into the position. What, being politically naive myself, what exactly does a state senator do?
What's your goals? What you're going to accomplish when you get into office?
Well, it would be to get in there and write the legislation and or, as my wife likes to say, remove the legislation that has been hindering the growth of the North State.
Have you been watching a lot of the, what's the program that Trump's on? I never watch TV that much, but
The Apprentice.
You got to watch that a bunch of times so you can practice you're fired, you know, a bunch of times.
I do envy Mr. Trump if he wins, because he can go into his first cabinet meeting and look around the table and go, if you're not defense and if you're not international treaties and negotiations, you're gone. So you're fired, you're fired, you're fired.
There's the door.
It's got to happen. I mean, that's what's going to start changing the stuff. I mean, thanks, Donald. I'm looking at an article here. United States delivers first payment to the Global Climate Fund. Now, all you green guys out there might think this is a good thing, but the United States has paid $500 million into the United Nations Green Climate Fund for the first triage of $3 billion. It pledged as part of a commitment it made in December, the Paris Climate Agreement, the State Department confirmed Monday. So this is a grant towards, the president's commitment to show that the United States stands squarely behind our international climate commitments. But the problem is that, they slipped this into the bill this last fall, and our guy voted for it, even though he says he's against it. And it just makes me sick that, we hear all the talk about, we got the Republicans on this side and the Democrats on this side, and they're all at odds. And, they don't like each other, but every time a bill comes up, they vote together on the same bill. And then they go back to their separate corners, and the bell rings again.
But I had to vote no, or I had to vote yes to get the outcome.
You
hear that all the time. You don't understand. I had to do that.
We have to play ball, and we don't want to, be politically hamstrung because we didn't vote for the president stuff, even though that's what we're supposed to be doing.
if you bother to read the Constitution, all the House has to do is pass the budget, and you're done. And so if you have control of the House, if we have our conservative legislators in there, they pass it. The president doesn't have any say on it, and the Senate doesn't have any say on it either. It's done. That is your budget right there.
If they were doing their job like they're supposed to.
Yeah. Read the little book. It didn't take that long. It might be helpful.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, what they're doing up there. I mean, and y'all knew that we just gave $500 million to the global greenie guys that really the United Nations that they have our best interest in mind, right?
Guess what's going to happen with that $500 million to create a bunch of rules and regulations, and then they'll fine us on top of that $500 million.
In a secret court that's offshore someplace.
Yeah, and we'll be the only ones that will be held to that.
That's right.
And all the other countries, China and everything, can still do what they want because they don't have to abide by it.
You read way too much internet.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to you this morning talk about all this crap you got on off the governor's new budget.
We've been buried this last week. We've got a 300-page document from the state of California, the governor's office, on his new climate plan to save California. We have 300 pages of documents from the Lavoie-Finicum shooting and investigation. And then last night about midnight, I got an email dump of about 610 pages of emails from Governor Kate Brown and the FBI and everybody going back and forth on their emails about the thing in Oregon. So, yeah, we've been digging some research.
Well, that's because there are no investigative reporters out there, it seems like, anymore. Very few and far between. This stuff should all be mainstream news. I mean, but none of it seems to happen.
It's not important.
It doesn't.
To them.
Oh, that's and crazy. You know, every time I hear, and we get the facts right, you know,
they go to all the sources.
It just makes me want
to just
put a bullet right through the TV,
so we can be fair and balanced.
Yeah, has anybody in the mainstream media even heard of a FOIA request?
No. Is that what
Judicial Watch has, at least?
Yeah. If it wasn't for Tom Fenton and those guys, man, we wouldn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't come from AP, you know, if it doesn't have AP on the story, then it's probably just some propaganda off the internet.
Well, yeah, AP is just short for approved, right?
Yeah. Washington approved.
Well, I was trying to bring up Steve's events to kind of let people know where he was going to be, but it's not working.
Let me see if I've got it here.
Yeah, I get everything else off your website, but that one's
the
not working.
There are so many people going to the website right now.
Well, that's a good
shutting
thing.
Shutting it down.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. But
okay.
In case they don't bring it up. Oh, wait.
13th.
You can always go to BairdForSenate.org, and we'll see if we can get... Oh,
so
what do you got coming up here?
Okay, so on the 13th, we do have that meeting in Shasta County, and I think you were reading the site. It's 3566 South Highway 26 in Valley Springs, California. Going to have a meet and greet and a little bit of a fundraiser.
Was that on the 13th?
That's the 19th.
19th, yes. 19th. The 19th. I'm looking at the wrong date.
Oh,
19th
yeah.
there. And we're also going to be doing a...
Are you going to be doing the Shasta County Town Hall on the April 2nd?
Absolutely. We're scheduled for that, and then there's going to be other town halls in other counties that we're going to be traveling to. I hope that all the candidates for all the offices are there so we can get... direct questions to both for and against, whether they're both Republicans, both Democrats. It would be nice to have a full flavor there, so we would invite, if you're in the 1st District, you're in the 3rd District, stuff like that. If everybody's there, it would be great for the...
Yeah, we could have almost like a one-stop shop and get the information
right.
and do some Q&A with
There's
everybody.
No he said, she said. We can get those answers right there, and so the public can make an informed choice.
So that's on April 2nd.
Correct.
And it's going to be at the Senior Citizen Hall, just so to let everybody know, at 22 Knight and Benton Drive right here in Reading.
Looks like you guys are just driving everywhere.
Yeah, it's great to have a car that gets between 42 and 45 miles a gallon. I'll thank the German engineering for that.
I was going to say, you got a Prius or what? I
mean, no, it's not a Prius. It's one of those things that,
it's a Volkswagen.
The EPA is not really happy with. It's a diesel Jetta.
Double whammy.
Oh, I love that
you
car.
You bad person.
Power and mileage.
Yeah, what is the matter with you?
Well, we got about 15 minutes left. We want to thank you for coming on the show, Steve. We got a few more headlines to cover, IRS scandal and so forth. But, feel free to come back anytime.
Appreciate it.
And, make sure that everybody goes to your website. That's Baird for Senate. That's BairdForSenate.org. Donate and support Steve and his campaign here against the incumbent establishment criminal crony class.
Yeah, and let the people know where he's going to be. Go to the website and check it out, and maybe like on April 2nd, come and join. And if you have questions or concerns, address them with him in person.
Yeah, if you're not going to call on the radio station and question me here, grill me there. I love it. I love all the Q&A.
Very good.
Oh, very
all right.
nice.
Well,
all
thanks,
right, thank
Steve.
You. You guys have a great day.
All right, let's see what else we got here. I wanted to kind of talk about this IRS scandal. Maybe we should go to a break, Bob. First,
there's a scandal.
I know which one.
No.
That's another one. Fire him! Fire him! Fire him!
Is government in that sentence?
Let's go to a quick break here. We'll come back, and we only got about 10 minutes or so left, and then we'll cover the last of the news
stories. Okay, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Come learn how you could be on the Shasta County Grand Jury. The Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could ever hope for. For a thorough presentation with all the details, come to the informational meeting Wednesday, March 23rd at 3 o'clock at Reading City Hall.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will?
Spend your spring break exploring at Turtle Bay. We will be open all week, March 28th through April 3rd, for a fun and educational way to enjoy spring break. With programming every day and something new to inspire wonder around every corner, put Turtle Bay on your spring break to-do list. We'll be open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th through April 3rd. For more information and program schedules, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them.
Okay. Watching that old Soul Train video here. Yeah, you know, we're all the, none of their mouths match the words. You know, they're like, all day long.
You're fired.
We practice kung fu.
I love those old samurai movies and stuff, though.
The old Jackie Chan movies and stuff.
I drive my family crazy with Samurai Saturday because I'll sit down and throw on the old Japanese samurai flicks. I love them.
Oh! You have something to say to me?
You have dishonored me.
You're fired.
It is time for me to kill you. Yeah.
It's pretty funny when Kung Fu Fight Team was playing and then Donald Trump was, but he didn't have the fired going. It was just his actions on there. It's pretty good.
There we go. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within the limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. I do not add within the limits of the law, because the law is often the tyrant's will, and always when it violates the rights of the individual.
Huh. Weird.
Does anybody know who said that? I guessed Washington when I first heard it, you know, but it's actually Jefferson.
Yeah.
My guy? I mean, the guy's a genius, or was.
He was, yeah.
He's a genius. So let's see, we got...
Yeah, how is it the guy that's been dead for over 200 years still gets it better than anybody else?
I know. Well, let's go through. We'll walk through the head.
I mean, they were smart and knew what they were doing.
I think so.
I think maybe.
Intelligent.
Yeah. Let's
walk through
the
parade of headlines. Okay. U.S. military will spend $62 million to develop an implantable microchip that will allow the human brain to directly communicate with computer systems. The goal is to create a real cyborg, a human with both organic and manufactured body parts.
In 2031, Skynet became self-aware.
You will be a part of the Borg. Yeah, you are the part of the Borg. Wow. You got another one here. Technology giants and old guard Republicans met on Sea Island near the Jekyll Island Resort, where the Federal Reserve was hatched to create strategies to stop the Trump bandwagon. Wow.
He must really be doing something right, because they're sure all over him.
Is that the same Jekyll Island that Clinton and his crony flies around to hook up with underage girls?
I think it is.
I think that's the same place, isn't
maybe.
It?
Maybe. No, is that in the Bahamas or someplace? I think it's in the Bahamas. Ah, whatever.
He didn't have sex
underage
with
underage girl. I never had sex with that woman.
Yeah, that's why he's dying of AIDS.
It wasn't the girls. Oops.
It depends on what the meaning is.
What's with the stutter and shake there, Bill? You look a little sallow.
You know, the best line of that whole article was the Karl Rove. There's a Karl Rove line here. It says, Karl, at the confab, Karl Rove, the old grubby prince of darkness. boy, there's some good lines in here, but I'm going to skip it and move on. So that's from John Rappaport. You might want to look that one up. That one's pretty funny. It's called Vampire... technocrats fly to Jekyll Island to stop Trump. Interestingly enough, let's see, Mexico, the Organization of American States reports that as many as 98% of crimes in Mexico go unpunished. Drug cartels account for much of that, but corruption in law enforcement is rampant. Just what we want here, right?
Yeah, yay.
Yeah.
That's why we want unelected officials running our counties and killing us if we disagree with them and protest over the BLM. Let's see, Israel launched one
or
of the
ETA.
Interestingly enough, moving right along. Let's see what else we got here that's worthwhile. Nancy Reagan died this last week or so. We've got France. This is an interesting one. In 2015, France indicted Baron David de Rothschild for embezzling from the British pensioners for violation of inheritance tax laws. His whereabouts are currently unknown.
Weird.
Yeah, now France is opening a criminal investigation of the Swiss branch of the Edmund de Rothschild's organization, just in case you wanted to know. FBI wants high school students to teachers to find terrorists.
Yeah, that one's kind of scary.
Yeah, by reporting on anyone who takes photographs of government buildings, uses private messaging apps on cell phones, talks about travel to suspicious places, or is interested in extreme ideological... I never could say that word.
So basically in high school, I would have been... Yeah.
Yeah. You know, anybody who's for animal rights, anarchy, veganism, and punk rock, hey, you know, you're a threat. You're a threat to the state and the Borg.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, you will be assimilated.
Here, we'll give you a cell phone if you just report them to us.
Yeah.
It'll all be good.
Blah, blah, blah. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says the Justice Department has discussed how the FBI could take legal action against the fossil fuel industry for denying the threat of carbon emissions as a factor in global warming. So we will just, charge them with something. I don't know.
It's a myth.
Yeah, the Pentagon has admitted that it's using drones to spy on U.S. citizens.
No. They wouldn't do that. That's not what they're designed for.
They did it up in Burns, Oregon, on a large scale.
Here's one. Yeah. The Wounded Warrior Project, that receives hundreds of millions of dollars in donations each year, is searching for a new leadership. The charity's broad board directors fired Stephen because he was receiving money on lavish parties. Anyway, we're out of time. So we'll get to the IRS scandal next week, I guess. But, here we go.
We'll have plenty more on... Uncle Jerry's climate plan and what we've disseminated from the Lavoie-Finicum.
There you have it. Remember, you were born an original, don't die a copy. Amateurs built the ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460.
From the historic resort town in Ivory Coast, sending tourists fleeing through hotels. Photos posted to social media apparently taken at the scene showed bodies sprawled on the beach. There's no word on how many were wounded or killed. It is the third time in recent months that a West African tourist center has come under assault by gunmen. Divers have gone back into the waters off the Hudson River looking for two tugboat crew members missing after a deadly crash.
There is still reportedly one body that hasn't been recovered, and the divers will be continuing to search for that body. Obviously, the conditions are very difficult. The visibility is very poor.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says that the tugboat is still leaking diesel fuel.
It's estimated to have had about 5,000 gallons on board. They've done air.